talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Just waiting for my breakfast. Lewis!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
How many children do you have?
Roughly 18.
By how many mothers?
17.
Are you able to pay child support?
I can't pay no child support right now. They know I can't pay them no child support right now.
Yeah, let me ask you this. It's a lot of kids. I don't want to put you on the spot, but can you name them all?
Yeah, I can name them all.
Can you name a few of them? You said 17.
Hey, look, all my boys' name is Orlando. One of my boys' name is Tashawn. One of them is Quarlando. Then I got Orlandria, Onisha, Omika. Okay, you get what I'm saying? I can name them. I got Miracle, Tamia, I got Will. I got them everywhere. I got them. Hey, I named them. I named these kids. Me.
And now.
Oh, I have a medical condition, all right. It's called caring too much, and it's incurable.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 11th of February.
What about having 18 kids with 17 different women? What about that?
I think that guy loves a lot of people. I think it's sweet. It's a beautiful, beautiful Valentine's story.
Seems like good planning.
Yeah, I think so.
You're down with it?
And he has a good gig, right?
Well,
did I misunderstand that?
He can't pay child support. Doesn't have a job. But
I'm sure he spends time with all of them. So
right.
Sure nice.
Yes. Right.
I was impressed with how many of the names he was able to come up with.
Well, he named them, is what I heard.
But still, yes. You think you'd forget if you name a kid 10 years ago and you don't see him again.
Yeah.
You know, but... I was very impressive. You're right. It's a very warm Valentine's Day.
It's a beautiful
sentiment.
Love story.
And in fact, the story I have to start the show today is also very appropriate for Valentine's Day. Kevin, you still in the market for a monkey?
Yes.
I got me a monkey.
I mean, that's
what do
still
you got?
The dream is a monkey, right?
Yes.
I mean, think of all the ways having a monkey would be awesome.
Puppy monkey baby.
Well, I don't know that you need that.
Puppy monkey baby.
I can't believe you don't already have a monkey for as long as you've been talking about it. I
mean, puppy monkey baby.
The downside of having a monkey is...
What is the monkey doing? Tell me what the monkey...
ripped your face off!
Well, I mean, that's
a problem.
Bad part.
Yeah.
That's the bad
but
part.
But that wasn't one of the little cute ones, right?
No. In fact, I just tweeted out a photo of the world's smallest monkey that has become one of the most popular pets in China right now. It is a pygmy marmoset.
Puppy monkey baby.
Nope. It is the smallest monkey in the world, Kevin. It grows to, at its height, 5 inches.
5 inches.
How about a 5-inch monkey?
I feel like that monkey could get lost or go anywhere at once. Do anything.
Yeah,
you can keep track of it.
It's smaller than a rat. So, you would have to. I mean,
I don't want a rat monkey.
Yeah, and it's.
Does it look
face
like a rat?
It's pretty creepy.
Is it a creepy face?
Adorable.
No, that's creepy. That thing will haunt you.
It looks like a gremlin.
It does look like a gremlin. You are not very good at not losing things.
Well,
like keys,
that is an issue.
Key cards and things. So it is possible that this monkey might actually be too small for you. Like what's the ideal size for a monkey for you, do you think? Like 2 feet?
I would say maybe.
Something like that?
No, I'd say maybe a foot to a foot and a half.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. I've never thought about it really that seriously.
The little primates are pygmy marmosets, the world's smallest monkey. They are being sold, as I mentioned, in China, where they are illegal to be sold, by the way. And they cost about $5,000.
Wow.
Whoa.
They are native to rainforests in the western Amazon basin in South America. Of course, this is the year of the monkey.
Sure.
Which is a thing.
Puppy monkey baby.
Especially in China. So that is partly why they have become so popular there. They have been given the nickname of thumb monkeys. Because, as you see in this photo, they love to hang on to your photo or to your finger. They just love to wrap themselves around.
It's literally smaller than the thumb.
Yeah,
it's just holding on. I would lose that monkey in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, that would not be a good investment then.
For $5,000.
Hey, Kevin, let me see your new monkey.
I just got rid of it.
He was around here a minute ago. Anyway, as I mentioned, they're native to the Amazon, but they are not legal to be sold, so you do have to go black market on it. But if you're looking for a popular exotic pet that's cute, this is the way to go.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's for me. I feel like there's a couple of negatives there that probably wouldn't suit me.
I appreciate it. I felt like this was the size was the problem before. I thought I had you covered.
I'm not sure the thumb monkey, although really it's limited in how much damage it can do. So the downside is better.
Yeah. But you also don't get all of the benefits that we have been discussing, which is order your monkey to go to the fridge and bring you a beer.
Right.
This monkey can't do that.
He'll bring like a thimble. That would suck.
It would take all day for this monkey to for you to be able to train this monkey to climb your refrigerator, open the door, get in, and pull out a beer.
Yeah, that's not even happening. It's too small. Mm-hmm. I'm out. Sorry.
All right. So this is not for you.
Nope. He rejects your monkey.
Correct.
Seriously. Okay. Just looking out for you, man.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeMeo show, shall we?
Breakfast with the boys.
God. That might be the worst thing I've ever heard.
Good morning.
What's happening?
What is that? Why are we having breakfast with the boys?
We got our new jingle singers.
Wow.
We put in that request for the budget in 1994. Like,
yeah,
it just got approved.
Right.
Just got approved.
So breakfast with the boys.
With the boys is where we're at.
Okay. We have a brand new Kevin DeMeo Internet Roundup on the program today.
Good times and great oldies.
That doesn't fit quite as well.
No.
Yeah. We're going to talk about weird things you saw in the drive-thru after the story.
80s and 8.
No. No, that doesn't. Did you just get a discount package bean?
Yes. They weren't selling too many of this package, okay. I got it cheap.
Yesterday we talked about the guy that threw the alligator into the Wendy's drive-thru window.
Right.
And so we're going to talk about people who work the drive-thru. Most of our staff has worked at a drive-thru at one point.
And by the way, you know what I didn't even think about when we were discussing this yesterday is all the celebrities that you see working at a drive-thru. I saw a flashback photo on the internet yesterday of Kanye West going through a McDonald's drive-thru in his Lamborghini. And I thought...
Lamborghini.
Of course. I thought that is one of the... another one of the you never know who the next car is going to be pulling through the drive-thru. I bet we'll get some of those stories, too.
Dave Grohl used to live in my area, and he would go to a McDonald's by my house.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I, you know, sat out and looked for him or anything, but
a little bit. Though.
There was a lot of Dave Grohl sightings in the drive-thru. So maybe
sure.
We will get a lot of that.
Yeah,
we have tickets for the K-Rock Grammy party.
I'll request lunch hour.
We're not on during lunch.
Well, again, I took the package that was available at the cheapest price.
Ralph told us yesterday about The Art of the Deal, the movie. He's going to bring in highlights of the entire thing today. Entire movie.
He loved it.
Very excited about that.
Johnny Depp plays Donald Trump, if you haven't heard about this. It's pretty classic.
Dr. Drew will be on the show today. We'll talk
about most music in the morning.
I'm not positive that's us either.
But they might be right with that.
Yeah, all right. We also have Jim Rome talking sports. Nothing? No jingle there? Okay. And we're going to talk to Ben Stiller today about Zoolander 2.
La mejor música.
That one fits. We'll be right back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
If your dream was to wake up this morning to some stories of some sweet, sweet death, we have you covered with an all-new Bean's Death Corner coming up just after 6. First, Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning. What's up, Ralph?
If your dream was to wake up this morning to some stories of sweet, sweet death, find a professional.
Yeah.
Find someone who can help.
I think that may be only Bean.
But in the meantime, though, you've come to the right show.
Right.
We do have you covered.
Right, but we're saying that you're talking to no one.
Well, we're taking care of business.
All right. He's got us there.
He does. I
we
mean,
are TCB.
Right?
I don't know how to argue that.
Bean's like, he's like a modern-day Elvis, where he takes care of business. And
Thank
Flash.
You,
you're welcome. J.K. Rowling's a big, fat liar who lies about lying. He's
but
lying
you love
liar.
Him.
Who?
Or her, the woman who wrote the Harry Potter novels, J.K. Rowling.
Oh, all right.
That's like, who are you?
I was thinking of J.K. Simmons.
I think Bean's had a stroke. I think Bean's had a stroke.
I was thinking of your Whiplash actor that you like so much. Sorry, I was barely paying attention.
Should we have someone check on him?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, see, I told you.
Bean?
I'm okay.
Okay.
First, she said, oh, that's it. No more Harry Potters. It's all over. Bye-bye. No more.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, okay, well, I did come up with one more story for a play that they're going to be doing on London's West End. So there, I did a little writing. I did that. Now, she's releasing an 8th Harry Potter book, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, will be the story that will be used for that play on London's West End. So anyone who can't get tickets or make it over to London to see the show will be able to read the story in her new book about Harry Potter, which will be in stores on July the 30th. So there's another Potter book for Potter fans.
That's good news.
It's good news for them.
I like that series.
Bad news for people who like honesty. That's all I'm saying.
Imagine
the book picked up 19 years after the last Harry Potter book left off. And now Harry is a contestant on Dancing with the Stars, apparently.
No.
Yeah, he's going for the coveted mirror ball.
Oh, well. He's got magic. Wouldn't have seen that in his future.
Tangelicus! And he hits his wand, and all of a sudden he can dance the tango.
It's unfair.
Perfectly.
It's unfair, really,
what he's got going on. You familiar with this Pauly Perrette? She's an actress on a show called NCIS.
I'm not.
Yeah.
She was the one who was in the news a couple months ago after being assaulted, or nearly so?
Yes. Yeah. In just 3 short months, she's been attacked for a second time.
Oh.
She says to TMZ that a random homeless man stuck his head inside her car and grabbed her wrist after she gave him a dollar. So she began screaming, "I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ." And then he let go. All right, something's up. Something's
she yelled
up.
That at the homeless guy?
Yeah, and there, the other guy was supposedly like some homeless guy who was outside her house with, who she had an altercation with. Something's up. Something's up.
I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
See? I don't like something's up.
Wow. So you believe it if it happens once, if it happens twice now, what's the common denominator in this story?
Right. And it's always some homeless guy who wants her, and there's some, and then she always has a press conference afterwards and stuff. Something's up. Something. I'm just saying something. Right?
What are you saying?
Something.
Jesus.
Or nothing. Hey, you know, it's Rain and Ben.
Hallelujah. I've heard that.
And on Monday night's episode of The Bachelor, the show's contestants were enjoying some downtime on the island of Exuma in the Caribbean, where pigs love to frolic and swim with the tourists. We talked about the swimming pigs, and they were feeding them turkey hot dogs. And unfortunately, a few of the ladies got freaked out, running screaming from the water. And now, the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism is upset with the show's portrayal of their delicious swimming pigs as aggressive.
They don't want people to be scared off.
Right. Don't stop swimming with our pigs. Please come pig swimming, won't you, tourists? They're begging. So they released a statement saying the animals were upset because of the ladies' attitudes.
See, that's
it
not
wasn't
right
the pigs,
there.
It was the ladies.
It.
They could sense that they weren't there for the right reasons.
They weren't really looking for
they
love.
They were not really looking for love, and so the pigs started to freak out. So don't hold it against the pigs because they were knocking them over and trying to molest them and bite them and eat them.
It team was, pig on this one.
It was the ladies.
I'm team pig as well.
And look, there's one simple word that can end all these problems. Bacon.
Don't
right?
say that. That's not.
With me? Who wouldn't like some nice island bacon? That's the island I want to be stranded on, by the way, when I get stranded on my desert island.
Right.
I want to be surrounded by the swimming pigs. Because
it's a good choice.
Here, squeaky, squeaky. Here, squeaky. Brack!
Is that the sound?
I don't know. I've never heard a dying pig.
It was
but
odd.
I'm assuming it would sound something like that.
Okay.
Like, I didn't see the episode, Ralph. But
coconut to the dome, right?
But
who's with
these
me?
These pigs were probably enthusiastic, like a dog is enthusiastic, but the contestants have never had any experience with pigs, so they were afraid of them, even though they weren't threatening. That's my guess as to what happened.
Right.
Right.
Or the pigs raped somebody.
Well,
I don't think that may be going too far
the other way.
What happened?
It's possible you went too far
I
the other way.
I saw one of the pigs put something in one of the drinks of the contestants.
You didn't see.
It was a roofie pig.
No.
And then.
Nope, you're making all this up.
Corkscrew.
Oh, right? Paula Peretti just tweeted that she was attacked by a pig also.
See? Mm.
So,
something.
Apparently. Yeah.
Right? Something. Nobody gets me, man. And, this is good news. We all have to go to Chicago.
We all have to go to Chicago. All right.
Okay.
Great city. Why?
Because there is a pop-up bar and diner called Saved by the Max, which will be open for 1 short month beginning on June 1st. And it will serve all Saved by the Bell-related foods and drinks.
Yeah, I'm cool. I don't...
Come on!
I'm not going.
I've been to Chicago recently. I don't need to...
Let's go back for Saved by the Max. AC sliders, right?
Okay.
Good.
Preppy Pretty BLTs.
Good. Okay.
Belding fries. You want some belding fries, don't you?
Sort of.
We have to get Dennis on the show. Dennis Haskins is a friend of mine who played Mr. Belding on Saved by the Bell. He's a great guy, and he's very entertaining. He's got some great stories about that show.
And he has some fries?
And just makes me think of him, the Belding fries.
I karaoke'd with him.
What?
He's a big karaoke. Yeah. He's a massive karaoke fan. Mr. Belding loves his karaoke. Hey, Kevin, we're talking over here. Don't whisper. Don't whisper to Chip.
I'm listening.
You're whispering to Chip. Lisa Turtle milkshakes?
Yes.
And macaroni and screech for Kevin.
Nope.
No. Get some macaroni and screech.
Wow, no.
So much no.
Features a full bar?
Uh-uh.
And daily costume contest where you can dress as your favorite Saved by the Bell character. This is the ultimate restaurant.
Why isn't there any Kelly Kapowski food?
Because she was anorexic.
But you are a rotten man. You are not okay.
Good answer, though. Makes a lot of sense.
He didn't make her that way.
Right. It's not my fault. And when was the... they said, Jesse diet pills. They should give those out, too.
I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
I just can't hide it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tina Louise. I believe, if I'm not mistaken... No. I was going to say she's the last remaining castaway from Gilligan's Island, but I think Marianne is still...
Yes. I think you're right. I think it's just the girls, yeah.
Just the girls are left. Ginger from Gilligan's Island. She's 82.
Wow.
Wow. This renders that whole Ginger Marianne thing just a moot point.
It sort of does
at this stage.
Did she take herself out of circulation decades ago? Like, I don't remember the last time I saw a photograph of Tina Louise.
I don't believe she is in the entertainment industry any longer. I think now she's hunting swimming pigs in the Caribbean. As well she should, the deadly swimming pigs. Burt Reynolds is 80. All right. Sheryl Crow is 54. Sarah Palin celebrates her 52nd birthday today. Jennifer Aniston's 47. That's a pretty well-preserved 47
Yeah, she looks good.
I think she sleeps in ice. I think she packs herself in ice at the end of the night. Puts in a big cooler and just crawls inside it and closes the door behind her. Kelly Slater, surfer, 44 years old today. Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park is 39. Brandy's 37. Kelly Rowland from Destiny's Child, 35 years old. Natalie Dormer from Game of Thrones and also the Tudors. 34 years old. Taylor Lautner's 24.
I'm 24 years old today. I'm Taylor Lautner.
And Damian Lewis, if you're not watching Billions, I will come to your house and I will treat you like a swimming pig.
Everyone? You're going to do that for everybody that's not watching?
Love me some Billions over there on Showtime. He is 45 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, don't forget, we still want you to go to the party Saturday night ahead of the Grammys. It's the K-Rock pre-Grammy party with Death Cab for Cutie at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. Have any of you guys ever been to that?
I have been there,
yeah.
Is it awesome? I hear it's awesome.
Muse played there just before the Grammys. A couple of years ago, I think.
And they have all sorts of cool displays and spotlights on various
cool.
artists and whatnot. Yeah,
it's amazing.
I definitely want to do that one time when I'm in town.
Maybe anyway, 200 seats, maybe. It's really small, so it's a great place to see somebody.
That is going to be a lot of fun for Death Cab fans. Your chance to win is coming up. We got it for you next hour, I think. And then again at 9 o'clock this morning, you can get all the details at krock.com. It is Thursday morning. It is time for a brand new Beans Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Beans Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
Kevin's going to deny this happens, but I do hear from a lot of Kevin and Bean listeners who are fans of this feature.
Right.
Enjoy the death.
Yeah.
And what's going on with those people? What do you think's happening with the people who
they're
love
damaged.
Death? Really?
Yes.
That's the only possibility?
Bean loves death. And a lot of people come up to us and say, hey, you know, I didn't think that was real. I didn't think this was real. This is real.
Yeah.
Bean loves death.
I'm fascinated with the way some people die because no one wakes up in the morning expecting that today's the day. And I'm just always surprised, you know, by the various ways that people can go. Like Andre Morena, for instance, in Mexico City, he was briefly famous last year as he was declared the fattest man in the world. Now, who could have ever seen that he would have an untimely demise? He was 977 pounds last year, by the way. But he did go into surgery. He went into one of those places that do the big gastric bypasses.
Right.
And he lost 132 pounds. So he was down to 710 pounds over Christmas,
which had to be looking good, right?
Well, I mean, only compared to the 900 and however many, 77 pounds.
Mr. Moreno was 38 years old. He died of a heart attack recently, and the doctors said they believe it was caused by the fact that he drank too many energy drinks. He was drinking up to 6 cans of energy drinks per day. They said that it was the equivalent of 42 cans of Coca-Cola that he was drinking per day.
Whoa.
Now, I don't know what kind of energy drinks they have down there in Mexico, but that sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? I would imagine it would be tough with a guy who's over 700 pounds and at one point had been close to 1,000. It would be tough to pinpoint the specific cause of death.
Yeah, it wasn't just that. But it was also the fact that he weighed 1,000 pounds. That had something to do with it.
Why are you just a body shaver, Kevin? Why can't he just be comfortable in his own skin?
I'm fine shaming 1,000 pounds because that person is going to die.
Is that your cutoff point? Anyone under 1,000, you're willing to give them a pass, but once you get close to 1,000, you're out.
You have to be reasonable.
So anyway, so heart attack, and he died, and they're saying it was the energy drink. Here's a young woman in Marina, California. Where is that? Is that in Central California?
I don't know.
I've never heard of it.
I don't think it exists.
It's actually a very tragic, sad story how she died. She was a drug addict who, the day she was released from rehab, went into the parking lot in her Volkswagen Jetta, went into the parking lot of a Walmart store in Salinas, and overdosed. Okay, so she died. Now, that part of the story is very sad. What I found fascinating is she died November 13th. They just found her in her car this week.
Oh,
her car
man.
Sat in the parking lot of a Walmart in California for 3 months.
What?
How does nobody notice?
That isn't possible.
That's insane.
It happened. This is for reals. Now there was an open missing person case, but what kind of a job were they doing if nobody in the course of 3 months noticed this car sitting in the parking lot and called it in or something?
Because all they would have had to do was
match the license plate. And
I
they would have found
it.
The woman.
I don't
Kevin
buy
rejects
it.
Your story.
I don't think that she could be dead in the parking lot of a Walmart. They have people that go around and.
Yeah, so Walmart spokesperson said they do have personnel patrolling overnight. They also have 24-hour surveillance cameras, but nobody had noticed the car for 3 months. Yes. So I am with you, Kevin, that I have questions about how that happened, but it's still a bizarre story. All right. Speaking of bizarre, what if I were to tell you that there's a man in Death Corner today who was killed in a way that there is no record of anyone in the history of the world ever being killed by? How about this? A first-time cause of death. A man in India, a bus driver identified as V. Kamaraj, has died after suffering severe injuries by apparently being hit by a meteorite.
He got hit by a meteorite! The first
person in recorded history to die in such a manner, according to NASA. There was a noise like a big explosion, said the principal of the college in the district. It was an abnormal sound that could be heard at least 2 miles away. Now, apparently, lots of people throughout history have been injured by meteorites. There was one that exploded over Russia in 2013 that just sprayed everywhere and injured 1,000 people.
Yeah, I don't want to know about those losers. I just want to know about the winner.
Yeah.
How about, it's funny because when people talk about the long odds of winning the lottery, people will often say things like, yeah, you're more likely to get killed by a meteorite.
Yeah.
But it actually happened to this guy. What are the chances if you're the first person who's ever been killed in this particular way?
Meteorite
left a 4-foot deep crater and shattered windows of classrooms and nearby vehicles. The explosion also injured 2 gardeners and a student at the school, but the man was killed.
He must have just disintegrated, right?
Pink mist. Boom.
I don't know how much of the rock hit him. It's possible it didn't do that much damage, but it's also possible that he took the brunt of it. And yeah, it would have been a very quick, very weird death. Here's one that made me think of beer mug, by the way. This is the Krispy Kreme Challenge that goes on every year in Raleigh, North Carolina. You guys familiar with this?
No.
It's an annual 5-mile race for charity, and I love the idea of this. This is where you run 2.5 miles,
right.
Then you eat a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts, and then you run the last 2.5 miles.
Yummy.
And you get sponsors. It's called the Krispy Kreme Challenge. Tens of thousands of people every year sign up for this. It is the 12th year that they have done this, raising money for the University of North Carolina's Children's Hospital. And one of the runners in the Krispy Kreme Challenge died on the track. The sad news for him is he died in the first 2.5 miles.
Oh, he didn't get his donuts.
He didn't even get to the Krispy Kreme.
Oh. Yummy.
Like, you wouldn't think there could possibly be any more bad news than you died while running this charity race. Geez. But now it's even worse because you didn't even get to the Krispy Kreme donuts.
His eyes were locked on those donuts,
yeah,
man. It was just all he saw.
Eyes on the prize. Dead.
He didn't even
dead.
Who's with me? Let's get Muggs to run the rest of this race in his honor.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
I miss that band, by the way.
I do, too.
Wish they'd, you know, change their minds. You guys ever been to Iceland?
No.
No.
How come?
Bjork.
Really? Bjork is keeping you out of the whole country?
No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I don't know. There's just doesn't seems dull.
I'd love know those blue lagoons and all that. That looks amazing.
Okay. I love Iceland. I've only been the one time. I did spend a vacation there a few years ago. And yes, the Blue Lagoon is great. They have beautiful black sandy beaches. They've got the largest glacier in Europe. The Vatnajökull is there in Iceland. Just gorgeous forests. It's a beautiful island nation. It's very popular with people in Europe as a weekend or a vacation destination. A lot of people from Europe go. Not too many people from America go to Iceland. And Iceland Air has been doing the best job they can on trying to encourage us to travel to Iceland. They've unveiled a couple of new strategies recently. One of them is you can have a stopover in Iceland. Like, let's say you're going to Paris. Well, why not stop in Iceland, spend a day or 2 days or 3 days in Iceland, and then continue on to France, and there's no additional charge for the stopover. It is considered part of the same ticket.
Okay.
That's pretty cool,
bad.
Right?
Yeah.
No additional charges.
I don't know what I'm
going to
do for six of those days, but okay.
So that's thing one. Thing two is, and this is something they just unveiled this month, it lasts through the end of April, you can order a stopover buddy. Now, this is an Iceland Air employee who will meet up with you while you're in country for free and show you around.
Is that code?
Right.
I don't think so. I don't think this is a Craigslist personal ad.
I've
no.
got a lot of stopover buddies.
Is that the final answer on the name?
Stopover buddy. Yes,
that's
is what the name is.
Agreed on that?
For instance, Birkir 41 is one of the available buddies. He will offer passengers a tour of his hometown and a day of backcountry skiing, for instance. You could also pair up with Margaret. She is a flight attendant of 30 years with Iceland Air, who is
She's
an expert on geothermal springs. Allie, that's who you would take to the Blue Lagoon, and she would tell you all about how it works.
Okay.
There is Inga, Kevin. I think Inga might be your speed. She is 45 years old, and she is an expert in cooking traditional Icelandic fish dishes. So you can get together with Inga,
that
and she will cook you a
so
meal.
So much like Kevin would enjoy it.
Perfect. Perfect.
So I just think this is a great idea for people who want to experience the reality of the country with a native. Like, if you don't know anybody in Iceland, this is perfect. But we wanted to find out more about this. We asked Dave, could you line us up somebody with Icelandic Air? And I believe that we do have a person on the phone.
Yes, it's Stig Vildander.
Oh,
hi, Stig. How are you?
Is that how you say it?
Is that right, Stig?
No, it's not quite right how you said my name.
Okay,
there.
I'm sorry. How do you say your name?
It's Stig Viklander.
Viklander.
Oh, Viklander. Yes. Okay. All right, Stig. So you work with Iceland Air. You're one of the available stopover buddies?
No, I don't do it myself.
Oh.
I'm just spokesperson for the airlines.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay, so you can tell us what's available.
Some other people who work for the airlines, they're doing it. Because they're not as easily creeped out as I am.
You know, you think this is a creepy idea? I think it's very friendly.
Yes, very friendly. Hey, stranger person, come now with me in my own automobile, and I'll show you the things we have here.
But the people work for Icelandic Air. They've been vetted by your company.
Nice. Our end is good. It's the people who are coming. The lonely single one person travel man. Who is like, oh, he has no friends. That can't be healthy for anybody.
So you're afraid of the American that shows up on his own. You think he may be up to no good.
Me, personally, I am for sure. But the other, Bikir and Margaret and Sven and Inga, they're all fine with it. So I wish them a quick, peaceful death.
Nobody needs to die here. Come on, Stig.
No one needs to die, but probably will, though.
Stig.
Think about it, sure.
So you think it'll be one of your employees and not one of the people stopping by?
I'm sorry, I'm confused by your question.
You're saying that the traveler who stops in Iceland is going to kill one of your compatriots.
Well, what's up with this person wanting to travel by self? It's, that's an odd thing. In fact, the whole program began starting with our CEO, Birkrum Hold Gudmundsson.
Okay.
He saw one person traveling in Iceland many years ago.
Uh-huh.
He said it was an impossibly tall, gangly, single-person man.
Okay.
With ponytails, and he had on a checkered shirt, looked like came from Cracker Barrel.
Oh, I see what's happening here.
And he was carrying a sock monkey. Things to have, obviously... loneliest person Bakir had ever seen.
Stig, I can't believe this,
and
but you're Bakir talking about...
And cried for so many weeks thinking of the lonely, single, weirdo American man who has no friends. And he showed us pictures and told stories to a whole company of employees, and we all cried and cried for the lonely, sad, weird, twisted man.
It wasn't like the Stig.
It was all strange. Look, he looked like an elderly lesbian, really. Remember Temple Grandin? You ever seen that show?
Yes, we know what you're talking
Temple
about.
Temple Grandin, who had sort of an Asperger but could talk to a horse better than a person.
Right,
and
we
so
do.
We all looked at this thing, and that this creature that was traveling by self, and we're like,
this should never
be happening for anyone.
Right.
We should put our own personal safety at risk, and we should make sure everyone who comes to Iceland has someone who can pretend to be a friend for the lonely, scary,
I was just
old,
on vacation.
Weird people.
It wasn't scary. I was just traveling alone on vacation, having the time of my life in your beautiful country.
What now? It was you, sir?
Yes, that's what we've been trying to tell you. It was me. That was me who came to Iceland on vacation by myself.
Imagine the shock and surprise from me now.
Hey, we're going to talk to actor Ben Stiller on the program today. As you know, Zoolander 2 opens up this weekend. Dr. Drew joins us later on the show, and we'll talk sports with Jim Rome because it's Thursday. Right now, though, hey, Dave.
Good morning.
Dave puts together the Internet Roundup for us.
It's the Internet Roundup, baby. All the videos you want to see. You look like you want some fun. Come on, turn your computer on. Watch out, here it comes. Internet.
I love that people are getting tired of Omar's ow. I love that because it just makes him want to do it more. We have a bunch of videos up at kevinandbean.com, a lot of which we don't have time to play audio from. There is Dave, explain this gymnast to me from UCLA.
Oh, she does a floor routine that includes hip-hop, and I think it's just one of the best, you know, floor routines that you'll ever see.
Okay.
Didn't you used to just do gymnastics, like you do your split or you do your whatever you're doing on the parallel bars or something like that, and then you just stand there or walk to the next event or something like that? But she's dancing her way through all of the different events.
Floor exercise
doing some tumbles
is exactly what she did. It's just floor exercise. But
this time she added the Kwan. The
right.
She does a little dabbing.
Right.
Now it's on.
Okay. Well, I forget that Step Up 3's Dave Sanchez is the one who puts the videos together.
Hey,
so that
must be
what's going on.
Bring a little street dancing gymnastics. People are going to dig it.
The first clip that we have for you that is probably going to make you throw up, I apologize in advance, but LP Cologne is very troubling because it's our friend Brad Williams, comedian Brad Williams, and it's his official fragrance. And it's a commercial for LP Cologne.
I get knocked down, but I get up again, and again, and again, and again. Love is the ultimate prize. The smell of confidence. LP Cologne. Put a little man in you.
And it's Brad in his underwear, and there's candles,
there's
and he's
horse.
In his underwear, and there's a weird horse.
and that stands for little people? Come on,
yes.
Is that what we're... Okay.
Yeah. Put a little man in his there. Honest Trailers is able to make any movie look terrible. This is Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Meet the collection of late 2000s hipster cliches known as Scott Pilgrim. He's an unemployed musician who lives across the street from his parents, shops at Goodwill, is sexually ambiguous, and complains about everything.
This is gonna suck.
Literally everything.
You know what really sucks, though?
What?
Everything.
Aw, I love that movie so much.
Best movie ever. How dare Honest Trailers attack it?
You know Making a Murderer. That's the story of Stephen Avery, who spent, what was it, 18 years for a crime he didn't commit. And it's a very popular series right now. This is a mixture that Vulture did. It's a remix using The Simpsons, a lot of the original audio from the series and The Simpsons video.
3 p.m. Friday, local autocrat C. Montgomery Burns was shot.
Burns was everything.
Simpson wasn't.
So just think of the two of them side by side.
There was no real investigation done by the sheriff's department.
The sheriff told the DA not to screw this case up.
The police wanted to frame Simpson.
I don't know why somebody decided to do that or how much time it must have taken, but it's pretty well done.
It's pretty well done, yeah. Triumph the Insult Dog. I'm sorry, Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. Talks to young voters is 10 minutes of magic.
Oof.
Man, is he insulting. He gets these students together. They're all wide-eyed. They all want to make a difference. They all believe in their heart that they're good. And he just insults them and calls them names and asks them horrible questions that they can't really answer. He gives them name tags. One guy's name was Swipe Left.
Oh.
he spends the whole time just insulting them.
Frat boys? I think that's a very offensive term, frat boys. Instead of frat boys, how about rapist Americans?
He says that to people's faces.
See, because they're all trying to be politically correct, Kevin.
Right.
And he's trying to stop them.
I get it.
These are white, uptight kids in a college in New Hampshire, and they have no idea what's about to hit them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to get to the real world and be like, I want that comic dog back.
I want that guy back.
That was the best.
The slow-mo guys are back. They decided that they needed to have a mousetrap close on one of their tongues.
Oh,
and they do it first at full speed, and then they do it in slow motion.
Shut up. I can't reach it.
You're all over it, though.
No.
Not too bad.
I swear in the slow-mo, it looks like the mouse trap cuts.
Yeah, it goes so deep.
Almost cuts his tongue off.
Ah, it's gross.
It's frightening.
That is a real commitment to your video, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
To be willing to do that?
You should try it, Chip.
March Madness is right around the corner, and, you know, I hate the One Shining Moment. I hate that song. Mm-hmm.
The Luther Vandross song.
The Luther Vandross, like, love ballad that they put the highlights to.
Don't you look forward to it in a bad way, though? Oh, here it comes.
Yeah. No.
Because
I love the sports montage.
Uh-huh.
Love it.
Right.
But why do they use this music? I know it's just because it's free now, right? Because they don't have to pay for it anymore?
I love it so much.
It's terrible. It's a love song.
It's a little Coast FM for a major sports championship.
But when a singer like Charles Barkley gets at it,
his voice,
it's really something.
You're a shooting star. One shining moment is all on the line. One shining moment.
Good.
Yeah.
Damn, he plays that piano well.
It looks like it, doesn't it? I did a remix of Puppy Monkey Baby because I love it so much, that commercial for Mountain Dew from the Super Bowl. And I was working on a video, and then yesterday Dave tweeted Mike Relman. He did a video in, like, I don't know, 30 seconds. It's annoying because he's so great.
Right.
But you got to see the remix of Puppy Monkey Baby.
Puppy Monkey Baby. Puppy Monkey Baby. Puppy Monkey Baby. Puppy Monkey Baby. Puppy Monkey Baby. Puppy Monkey Baby. Puppy Monkey Baby. Puppy Monkey Baby.
It's pretty magical. It scares Bean, but it's pretty magical.
Yeah, I don't know why. I wish that creature didn't exist.
It doesn't. It's in a commercial. It's actually a commercial. Jimmy Kimmel Live has, I think, one of the funniest things on TV is Jake Bird.
Jake Bird. He's great.
He is a guy who goes someplace and he sort of interrupts interviews and sort of co-signs with the person that is talking, but he always says things that are much, much, much more insulting than they would have said. And then he tries to sort of act like they're in on it. And he goes to a Donald Trump rally in New Hampshire and just is yelling stuff. I'm surprised he hasn't been banned from Donald Trump rallies.
I'm worried for him.
He's so good, and he's so close to Donald Trump, and he's shouting things out as Donald speaks.
This guy told me a great joke in the men's room. He said, hey, Bernie, it's New Hampshire, not Jew Hampshire.
And we're going to build ourselves so strong, nobody, I'm telling you, nobody is going to play with us. We don't want to use it.
Nobody can come over to play.
We have
no play dates. No play dates.
And he's close enough that Donald Trump can hear him.
Yeah, he's looking at him. He's glancing over at Jake Byrne.
And that's what he does, is he takes the nobody's going to want to play with this. He goes, no play dates. Not at all what Donald Trump is really talking about. And finally, Jimmy Kimmel Live's This Week in Unnecessary Censorship, where they censor stuff that doesn't really need it.
Do you feel you do better when you're from behind?
Well, the intensity of the experience.
Yeah, you would think so, because there's just not enough hard go around.
What these other countries are doing to us, they're just our and I've had it with it.
I want the title so bad, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship so bad, I'm gonna my own brother for it.
Oh. Mm. Mm. Brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Go to kevinandbean.com.
Is the Internet
Have you heard? Great things are happening at your neighborhood Albertsons. All over the store, you'll find choices that are juicier, yummier, tastier, like produce that's fresher, crispier, sweeter. With better-than-ever selection, more amazing choices, and savings down every aisle, your trip to Albertsons is sure to be a whole lot nicer, quicker, happier. Your store is just better. Come in today. Check it out for yourself.
For everything you need to make Valentine's Day special, your friendly neighborhood Albertsons has all the favorites. For a delicious dinner, stop by the meat department for juicy USDA choice New York steaks bone-in for only $4.88 a pound. In produce, get a sweet deal on a large package of blueberries, 18 ounces for just $3.99 each. And keep the smiles coming with florist quality roses for only $19.99 a dozen. Juicier meats, fresher produce, sweeter savings. Albertsons, it's just better.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
It is Ralph Garman time. 6:54, what's going on?
Garman time! Can't touch me. Garman time!
Yep.
Yep.
Is this thing on?
Yeah, it is.
And you know, me. I'm all about the music. You know, I got the music in me.
Sure,
I got the music in me.
Uh-huh.
I got the music in me.
Mm-hmm. Heard it, yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of music news in the showbiz news today. Kanye West has finally revealed the title of his album. Sure, okay. It was going to be
Waves,
and before Waves, it was going to be
Swish.
And before Swish,
that?
It was going to be Boogers. Remember, Boogers was in the running for a while?
So Help Me God was the original title.
And Toe Jam. Remember, it was Toe Jam for a minute? There and then you look back, and it was Cookie Dough. It was going to be Cookie Dough for a second.
I don't remember Cookie Dough.
But now we have the official name. Kanye West's new album is entitled...
And now, breaking news bulletin.
T-L-O-P.
T-L-O-P. T period L period O-P...
Nope. T period L period O period.
Right, P period.
P period, yeah.
And
it would be silly
for...
if it was T period L period, then just O-P.
Yeah, you're
then
right.
You would be missing some periods in there. That wouldn't do right.
It's awful to miss your period.
Tell me about it, right? Girlfriend.
Is that it? That's the final answer?
T-L-O-P.
Which stands for?
The Life of Pablo. Right?
Who's Pablo?
Exactly, Allie. Exactly.
Is that really what it stands for?
Billboard.com says it's probably Pablo Picasso, since Kanye West has compared himself to Picasso quite often, most recently during a speech last year at Oxford University. First of all, if Oxford University is asking Kanye West to give a speech, shame on you, Oxford University. Or TMZ thinks it could be Pablo Escobar.
Oh.
Yeah, right? Swaggy. Thug life, yo. Anyway,
very believable.
Kanye will perform his entire new album and unveil his new season 3 clothing line all at once at Madison Square Garden this afternoon. So let's all just be excited, shall we? Clothing and music?
Yeah, I don't.
You don't get it, man.
I like Kanye. I like him as an artist, but I liked him better when he just made great music.
T-Lop.
T-L-O-P.
T-Lop.
Cause baby, I'm awesome.
He is awesome.
Also,
mm-hmm.
I'm also awesome. Also,
right.
I'm also awesome.
You're also, you're awesome. You're awesome.
Y'all know.
We all know you're awesome. I wish it had been Secret Life.
I just wanted people to like me more.
Right.
No, no one likes you. People like you less every day. Secret Life of Pablo would have been awesome because then we could just call it Slop. That would have been more appropriate, I think.
Okay.
Adele.
How could you explain that?
Adele announced a secret
show,
one-night-only concert at the Wiltern Theater tomorrow night. She announced it yesterday, and you're not going.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, whoever you are listening, you're not going.
We called from the office to say, hey, what about... Don't ask.
Right.
Mm. Okay.
Only fans registered with Adele.com could get tickets. This kicks off, of course, a long sold-out world tour for Adele, which starts tomorrow night and then swings into Belfast, Ireland on the 29th of February, six nights at the O2 Arena in the UK, then St. Paul, Minnesota, six nights at Staples Center, of course, here in August in Los Angeles, Madison Square Garden, September, Mexico City in November. It's going to be a long year for Adele, but she can handle it.
Ralph, you've been out of the room a lot, so you haven't heard the several hours of angst from Ally McKay on trying to get into this Adele show.
You're not going.
Well, I was
be.
Registered at Adele.com from
so?
Before, so I thought maybe I have a chance. So I went on yesterday to register two more email addresses, and you aren't allowed to.
Well,
like
that's
she's on
cheating.
To my game.
Yeah,
oh,
Adele,
I'm so mad. Yeah,
Adele
she is.
Adele doesn't like cheaters.
Well,
she's
I
an
signed
honest
up.
Person.
I signed up months ago so I could. Get the early Staples Center tickets, which
How'd
I
that
didn't,
work out for you?
I didn't get those either.
So just accept you're not going.
I don't. I still believe.
You don't believe it. Don't believe it.
I just feel like
you're
maybe,
the potential juror.
Like if we were going to be friends, like we'd be friends.
You're
if
not
we
be
met,
friends,
we would
and
be
you're
friends.
Not even going to go to show.
Yeah,
just
we'd be friends.
Live with it.
This is why you fail.
No,
you
Mini fail. Yoda.
Accept your fail.
I don't want to.
Allie has no friends.
That's
right.
True. I just need one ticket.
You should go to Iceland.
She's not asking for so much.
And Paul McCartney is still the creative genius he always was, with the Beatles, with Wings, solo career, unstoppable creative musical genius.
He's been writing crap for a while.
How dare you, sir?
He
is
been.
A genius, and everything he does is magical.
What was his freedom song? That was terrible.
Talking about freedom?
That was terrible.
He was talking about freedom.
Right, I know he was. It was a terrible song.
You don't know. What about Meatless Monday?
That was even
a
worse.
Smash hit. What about the smash hit Meatless Monday?
Sit down.
Well, you'll be happy to know that Paul McCartney is once again cranking out gems. He is working with the folks over at Skype, where he is now recording his voice and recording the music for Lovemojis.
Lovemojis.
Lovemojis are animated emojis that you can use on Skype while you're Skyping with someone just in time for Valentine's Day.
Okay.
And the work is brilliant. He is scoring and voicing the Lovemojis. And there's a video of him working behind the scenes in the studio creating the magic. And this is actual audio of him working on the Lovemojis. So you'll see that I'm right. He's a genius. Here's some Lovemoji music.
The blushing bride sends this via Skype.
Yeah.
That's not
That's
real.
Paul hitting keys on an organ and whistling into a microphone.
That's not real.
That happened.
That is not real.
All he needs to do is just bend over and fart into a microphone and then high five his producer.
Zero for effort, zero for style, zero for star quality, and you know what? I'm being generous.
Is he doing the Beatles any good right now with this kind of nonsense BS? He's full on Yoko Ono right now.
He can't hurt the Beatles.
But he's full on Yoko Ono.
He can't hurt the Beatles, though.
Yeah, true.
No matter what he does, he can't hurt the Beatles. But it doesn't seem like he's trying very hard these days to do anything.
He's whistling into a mic.
He's whistling into a microphone and hitting one key on an organ. That's what he was doing for a while.
Wow.
He's now scoring emojis.
Even if you're going to do that, you don't put your name on it.
Right.
You just That's a behind-the-scenes gig.
That's a cash-the-check thing, or right, just you do right. it for the grandkids or whatever, but you don't do that.
Leaves this reviewer cold.
I think that was the whole point, Kevin. Mm. It was. Today's celebrity birthdays, there's a ton of them. Just look them up, you lazy bastards. I'm Ralph Garman, along with Showbiz B.
Ben Stiller on the program later on today, Dr. Drew, Jim Rome, and later this hour, we'll hook you up with tickets for this intimate performance by Death Cab for Cutie Saturday night at the Grammy Museum at LA Live ahead of the Grammys, where they are nominated for Best Rock Album, I believe. So good luck to our friends in Death Cab.
All right, let's talk about working at the drive-thru. We did a story yesterday, I think a little bit earlier than this, about a guy in Florida who pulled up to a drive-thru and threw an alligator into the window.
Only on 5, a story that thousands of you have been sharing from our Facebook page all night. In fact, at this hour, almost 2,000 people have shared this story today. A 24-year-old man, this man right here, accused of throwing an alligator through a drive-through window. Our Jared Worksma spoke exclusively to his family tonight. And Jared, what are they telling you?
Well, Josh James' parents are telling us that he is an outdoorsman and that Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, was his idol. But above all, they say he is a prankster.
They started with he's an outdoorsman.
And if I remember correctly from yesterday, he was literally driving down the road, saw an alligator on the side of the road, way to go Florida, and decided it would be hilarious to throw it at somebody through a drive-thru.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, his mom said he's a prankster.
That's what you do.
You know, he's being
That's
funny.
What you do. Yeah.
He's being
like,
funny.
Like, who hasn't thrown an alligator into a drive-thru?
At least thought about it.
Right? So we thought it might be fun to hear from you, the Kevin and Bean listener, who have worked at a drive-thru. You see, look, anytime you deal with the public, you're going to see lots of people. And in that subset of lots of people, there are going to be some people doing some crazy stuff. So we want to hear from you. What have you seen work in the drive-thru? What kind of crazy stuff have you seen? I know anyone who's worked a drive-thru has seen naked people go through. That's a fact.
Well, yeah, speaking of which, an unusual family affair at McDonald's, this person writes, a car full of naked people drove up and ordered food with bags on their heads. I believe one of them referred to to another as mom.
Oh.
Ooh, that's
that just
it went south quick, right?
That's, yeah. That's no longer a fraternity prank. So 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your stories of what you've seen through the drive-thru. By the way, I don't think we've ever done this topic before.
Yeah.
Which is always exciting to me to hear a new batch of stories.
And three of us in the office had worked drive-thru windows before.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, really?
And Omar was the only one who... Omar's story is terrible. He worked at the drive-thru and they got robbed.
Yeah.
So they sent him for like some kind of counseling to make sure that they were all okay. And then when he went back to work... He pulled up to the speaker and tried to rob them again.
Yeah. Wanted to freak the person out.
Just to freak
there.
Him out? Hey,
he's evil.
I'm going to tell you in the speaker, just have all the money ready. I'm going to pull up. And then he pulled up and he saw who it was. He's like, oh, I feel bad because you're really nice, but I was just being funny.
Here's a story that's in the news today, by the way. Again, your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you can't call, you can always text us at the number 2-KROQ. That's 25767. Canada's East Coast has been slammed with winter weather this week, but a New Brunswick woman wasn't going to let a snowstorm come between her and Tim Hortons Coffee. That's the very popular chain in Canada.
Okay.
When a storm struck Sussex, New Brunswick on Tuesday, Allison Mitten decided to go for a coffee run in a very Canadian manner. The dog trainer hitched two of her border collies, 6-year-old Brea and 4-year-old Shift, to her sled and rode the 4 kilometers into town. She went through the Tim Horton drive-thru in a dog sled.
That's awesome.
Is that the most Canadian thing you've ever heard in your life?
Good. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
It was such a stormy day. What else can you do? Be stuck inside? No. The dogs love to run. They don't care about the snow. So we just hauled out the dog sled and away we went to Tim's. So she showed up and they have video of this and it was just a sensation in that little town in New Brunswick. But she just showed up at a drive-thru in a dog sled. Now, that person that had been working the drive-thru window had never seen that before.
Uh-huh. There were two other stories that I remember. One had a pet raccoon Ooh. In the car.
That's a choice.
And the other went through the drive-thru with a donkey. Apparently, they found out after asking a few questions that these people do these parties where kids can ride the donkey or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they were on the way to a party and they needed food. So they went through the drive-thru with a donkey.
All right.
So that
well,
happened.
Well, a lot of those places don't let you walk up to the drive-thru. They want you to be on
right.
some sort of transportation. So I guess a donkey is what they
donkey,
had.
Donkey, dog sled.
Sure.
Whatever you need.
All right. Let's talk to Wes in Burbank to get us going here at 1-800-520-1067. See, this is a perfect example of something that I would never expect to see while I was working a drive-thru.
Wes, hi.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good. So you weren't working at a fast food store. You were working at a liquor store?
Yeah, I was working at a liquor store in Kentucky. And I used to take the orders, and then I would go grab them. Well, there was this, like, 60-year-old man driving. There was a guy in the passenger seat with a tomahawk tattoo on his forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a lady in the back seat. Well, I noticed that she had a Mountain Dew can between her legs, and she had a syringe. Well, I went and got their order, and I came back, and she was shooting up. It looked like heroin in her arm.
Oh, my God.
I don't like this story.
I don't either. So did you just ignore it and say, have a nice day? What do you do?
Well, I was really hesitant to take their money. The old man that was driving, he seemed sober, so that was pretty much, if they were sober enough to drive, you're able to sell it to them. But I told the owner, and he was just like, well, to take down their license plate, and we called the cops, but they really didn't do anything about it.
Wow.
Wow.
That is crazy. All right, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that.
That went south so fast!
Heroin isn't what you were expecting, Kevin?
No.
Let's go to Paul, also in Burbank. He's on line 4 up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going well. What did you see working the drive-thru?
I worked at a drive-thru of the best fast food chain there is. I'm sure you can guess which one that is.
In-N-Out?
And, yep.
Okay.
And a guy was working the pay window in the drive-thru, and the guy hands me clearly a very fake $100 bill.
Oh, it wasn't even a good one? Like, you could tell instantly?
No, I don't know. It was like there was seriously a piece of cardboard on it.
But, okay.
Yeah, it was really weird. But I give it to my manager, which is protocol, and he goes and asks the guy if he has another bill because this one isn't real. And the guy freaks out and is like, give me my bill back. And we're like, no, we can't do that.
Oh, is that a legal thing that you have to keep it?
Yeah. Okay. I guess that was protocol.
All right.
I assume then, like, turn it in to the authorities.
Right.
So anyway, the guy ends up saying he won't move his car. So
he wouldn't leave.
So we have to slowly back everybody who's behind him out of the drive-thru, which is like 15 cars.
Yeah, always.
And we have to, like, walk them all out their food. We take all their orders, walk them all out their food, and then back them out, and then close the drive-thru. And then the police showed up, and he had kind of a standoff with them about, like, not moving his car.
Wow. You know, I'm so surprised, sorry to interrupt, that somebody who's trying to pass a counterfeit bill would stay
in that spot
waiting for the police to arrive. I mean, it seems like he's almost turning himself in at that point.
His argument was that I had swapped it.
Well, he planned that ahead of time then, right?
And he was only ordering, like, a medium Coke so he'd get back as much change as possible.
Sure.
You want to
get as much real money back as possible.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Wow, that's a crazy story. Did he end up getting arrested?
So they ended up getting him to pull his car all the way out of the front of the drive-thru, and they pulled him out, and we saw them search him and everything, and they did take him away and have his car towed.
Fantastic.
So,
that's that guy for slowing down the In-N-Out line.
Yeah, right?
Exactly.
Keep it moving, sir.
Keep it moving.
Pass all the counterfeit bills you want, but keep it moving when it comes to the law.
Get out of the way.
All right, sir. Thanks very much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. What did you see at the drive-thru? We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Taking your calls right now on crazy things you've seen in the drive-thru. You're working a drive-thru at a restaurant or a liquor store or whatever, and somebody drove through, and they were doing what? We knew when we started that nothing was going to be as crazy as getting an alligator thrown through the drive-thru, like the story in Florida this week.
Right.
But that doesn't mean there's not some great stories to be told, including our man Robert. He is in Van Nuys. He's up first. He's on line 2.
All right. Hey, Robert. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Where'd you work? What'd you see?
Worked in Panorama City or Van Nuys, around that area, in Burger King.
Okay.
And what ended up happening was the couple came through the drive-thru, and, I mean, you can hear them over the speaker sort of, like, talking or messing around, but when they came up to the window to pick up their food, the guy was getting a BJ.
while driving through?
But that, you know, it was shocking to me. It was brand new, so I called my manager over. I didn't know what to do.
Why did you call your manager over? What did you think?
Let Robert live.
That's a terrible...
Well, think about it. You're there. You're serving.
So what? Give him his food and say, good on you. What did you call your manager? They're having sex.
What did you want or expect your manager to do about it?
I don't know. I was new, so I didn't know what to do. You know?
Give them their food. That guy's hungry, and she's working up a big appetite.
Exactly. All right. Thank you, Robert. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Speaking of having sex in the drive-thru, by the way, what about Aaron, line 7, calling us all the way from the beautiful city of Portland, Oregon? Hey, Aaron, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Good. I was working at the Golden Arches when I was about 16, and when I was new to it, and I had people pulling up, and there is a guy and girl in the back seat having sex, and there's a guy in the passenger seat actually filming it.
So there.
So wait. So there's a driver, and then there's someone in the passenger seat filming two people in the back seat having sex. So four people in the car.
Oh, yep. Correct.
All right. This is the most important question. Did you call your manager over?
No. I actually tossed them an extra bottle of water and make sure they're hydrated.
Nice.
Okay,
good for you.
See, Aaron had the right response.
Well done. Thank you, sir. Let's go to line 8. This is going to be Brian. He is in L.A. He's up next.
That guy called his manager over.
Well, he did.
Brian in Los Angeles. Hi.
How are you?
Good. Thank you.
So I'm working a McDonald's drive-thru mid-90s in St. Louis when a couple comes up to order and the usual stuff. They want some nuggets. They want a cheeseburger. In the middle of the order, suddenly the wife decides she changes her mind and it's like, no, I don't want nuggets anymore. I want a burger. The guy starts yelling at her like, why do you always change your mind? How come you can't make up a decision?
I'm so tired
of this. And there starts this heated argument, screaming back and forth, elevating until she's just laying into him. And all of a sudden, you hear the sound of a chainsaw start.
Loud.
You start to hear crazy, blood-curdling screams. Everybody inside the McDonald's with the headphones on starts freaking out. The manager had headsets on, grabs the phone, ready to call 911, dives, like, hanging waist-deep out the window, trying to see the car around the back of the McDonald's. Slowly, the car creeps forward, and we see them. A teenage couple in there that had like done this whole bit, had it on a recording, was playing it into the box, and they were laughing their asses off at it.
Wow.
Well done. Pretty
epic. And then our manager, being an amazing sport, like pretty much gave them a high five, comped their meal, and sent them on their way.
Wow.
And you know what's amazing about this is this was pre-YouTube, right? So it's not like they were filming this to make a funny video. They were just doing – this was just their entertainment for the day, was freaking you guys out.
Yeah, this was 93-ish. And
that's awesome.
It was
amazing.
Awesome.
By the way, if I could say to all other listeners, tell a story like Brian.
He got right to it, Brian.
Worked right through it quickly. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Very well done. Lots of details, but very well done. Thank you, Brian. We appreciate you listening. By the way, craziest thing that has ever happened at a drive-thru, I think.
Now a woman on a speaker box is saying, can I take your order, please? I said, yes, indeed, you certainly can. We'd like two hamburgers with onions and cheese. Have a chicken sandwich instead this
Wait,
time.
She's gonna pull out a chainsaw.
That didn't I said, act. You always get a cheeseburger.
This is a song.
She says, that's not what I'm hungry for.
Uh-huh.
I put my head in my hands and scream. I don't know who you are anymore.
All right, well, we don't have time for the other 10 minutes of Weird Al's Trapped in the Drive-Thru.
Do we have time for Candace, though? Do we have time?
We don't.
Can't look at Candace.
We gotta go.
Guy right. wanted her to perform a baptism
oh,
on me.
Come on, Bean.
Okay. Why do you hate God?
All right.
Candace. Oh, this is going to be a terrible story. I just know it now. Candace, tell the story well, please. Go.
Okay. I was working at a Chick-fil-A in the Dallas area when I was 16. And coming to the drive-thru one night, there's a guy in a Jeep, like a big old Jeep Wrangler. He has an inner tube suit on. And he gives me a bucket of water. And he says, hey, I'm going to come back through. Can you throw this on me? And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, I need you to perform a baptism.
Was he serious?
Yes, I think that it was a video for something.
Oh, I see.
And you were working at what kind of a restaurant?
A Chick-fil-A.
Okay, so why did he think a person at a Chick-fil-A was qualified to baptize him?
Don't look at me.
Did you throw the water on him?
I sure did.
Nice job.
Good job.
All right.
Basically done.
All right,
she told us, right?
Yes.
Okay. We got to clear the lines. I'm sorry to say this was a lot of fun, but now we want to open the phones back up. Same number, 1-800-520-1067. If you would like to have a Saturday night you will never forget, you'll go to the Grammy Museum at LA Live for a pre-Grammy party sponsored by K-Rock. Live music performance by Death Cab for Cutie. If that sounds like fun, give us a call. We've got a game you can play to win those tickets. 1-800-520-1067. We'll do that next on K. Listen to this on that last topic about the drive-thru. Amanda writes in, I met Ryan Gosling while working a drive-thru and did nothing but just stand there and stare. I pulled an Ally McKay, she says. Did that happen to you, by the way, Ally? Did you stare at Ryan Gosling?
No, I would, though.
She would, though.
She said, I pulled an Ally McKay. She said she was working at an In-N-Out Burger when Ryan Gosling came through the drive-thru. So there you go. That's a happy day. You don't. Yeah, that's a day where your job doesn't suck.
Yeah. Right?
All right, as you know, the Grammys are Monday night. K-Rock is throwing a big party. It's Death Cab for Cutie is the entertainment at the Grammy Museum in L.A. Live. It's this Saturday night. We have contestants on the line at 1-800-520-1067. The game is called Simply the Best.
You're simply not the best.
Oh,
simply not the best. The best is fairly what it's called.
Yeah, I feel like that was the whole thing we were going for, was not. Remember the whole conversation about all the people and who lost?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about the Best New Artist Grammy, which is, when you think about it, it's kind of the toughest Grammy to get right, because you don't know when a new musical act comes on the scene, no matter how sensational their debut. You don't know if that's it. They're out, and you'll never hear from them again. So sometimes you look back and you see people who won, and you're like, how did that person win in that category? But at the time, you don't know who's going to go on to be famous. I mean, a lot of times the Grammys have got it right. I mean, Mariah Carey was a Best New Artist. Adele was a Best New Artist. The freaking Beatles were a Best New Artist. But then sometimes you get a Paula Cole or a Mark Cohn. Or even Lauryn Hill, who pretty much vanished after she won the Best New Artist Grammy. So you really can't tell until after the fact. So that's why we thought it might be fun to give you the people who were nominated in a particular year for the Best New Artist Grammy, and then you have to tell us who you think won that category. Does that make sense? You guys got that?
Yep.
All right.
It's called You're
Sampling Not the Best.
Not the best. Now sometimes you are.
Okay. So sometimes do we need to change that to sometimes?
Well, let's just leave it for the way we got it for right now.
Sarah in Arcadia. Hi there.
Hi.
All right, Sarah. So I'm going to tell you. I'm sorry. Say again.
Oh, no. I just said thanks for having me on.
No worries. Of course. Yeah, our pleasure. We appreciate you listening and calling. So I'm going to give you the year and the nominees. You have to tell me who won the Grammy for Best New Artist that year, okay?
Okay.
All right. 2004, your nominees are 50 Cent, Fountains of Wayne, Evanescence, Heather Headley, and Sean Paul. Who won the Best New Artist Grammy in 2004?
I want to say Evanescence.
You are correct.
Evanescence
beat out 50 Cent and Fountains of Wayne.
Wow.
Yes, you are in the drawing for the Grammy party. Well done.
All right, let's move on to James in Westminster. Hi, James.
Hi, good morning, Kevin B. and Ali.
All right, James, we're taking you back to 1996. Here are your nominees for Best New Artist. You tell me who won the Grammy.
Hang on a second, Bean. Hey, Ali, no one can see if you wave. If he says hi to you and you wave, you know, maybe say hi. Okay, back to you, Bean. She waved at the microphone.
Because there was a beat, and then Chip looked at me, so I waved as a joke.
Okay.
I hate you so much. Hi, James, how are you?
I'm James doing great.
James says he got the wave.
Okay. He got the wave.
Received. Okay. All right. 1996. Here are your nominees. Hootie and the Blowfish, Alanis Morissette, Brandy, Joan Osborne, or Shania Twain. Which one won the Best New Artist? By the way, that's a category of five people who all went on to have careers of some length.
I was going to say, there's no bad one in that group. Oh, man. I'm going to go with Shania Twain.
I'm sorry. No. Hootie and the Blowfish won the Best New Artist Grammy in 1996.
There was one surprise, and it was Hootie and the Blowfish.
Thank you for playing, though. We appreciate it.
Come on. Let's go to Missy in Anaheim. Hi there.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, Missy. Listen up. Here's your Best New Artist category for the Grammys. Was it Maroon? This is 2005. Was it Maroon 5, Gretchen Wilson, Los Lonely Boys, Josh Stone, or Kanye West that won the Best New Artist Grammy in 2005?
That's so tough. I'm going to go with Maroon 5.
Yes, you are correct.
Done.
And how do you feel if you're at the Grammys today and you – look, Maroon 5 is still popular.
They have a huge career.
But they're not Kanye West in terms of artistic.
Yeah, but if you give Kanye West all of the awards, then he won't react like he does, like we enjoy it.
Yeah, that's true. All right, you are in the drawing. Well done, my dear.
All right, let's go to Adrian in Whittier. Hi there.
Hi. Hello?
Hey, Adrian. What's going on, man? How you been doing playing the game on hold?
Got every single one wrong so far.
All right.
Okay, perfect. Yes. Fantastic. You're the contestant we were looking for. We're taking you back to 1997. Here are your nominees for the Best New Artist Grammy. Who won the prize that year? Was it No Doubt? Was it Garbage? Was it the Tony Rich Project? Was it Jewel? Or was it Leanne Rimes? That's 1997's freshman class. Which one won the Grammy for Best New Artist?
No Doubt.
I'm sorry.
That's what you would have thought.
It is Leanne Rimes won in 1997 over Garbage, Jewel, and No Doubt. How about that?
Wow. All right. Thank you, Adrian. Let's move on to Denise in Manhattan Beach. Hi there.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
All right, Denise, we're playing to get you into the K-Rock Grammy party on Saturday night with Death Cab for Cutie. Your year is 2013. 2013. The Lumineers, who we just had on the show earlier this week, were nominated for Best New Artist Grammy, as was Frank Ocean, the band Fun, Hunter Hayes, and the Alabama Shakes. Wow.
Ooh, man. I hope.
2013.
I hope it was the Alabama Shakes, but I'm going to say Fun.
Fun is correct.
Fun is right.
Wow.
She had got a, she had one that she wanted, and then she had the one that she's actually going to guess.
They got to regret that one, right?
Thank you, Denise.
They got to regret that. All right, let's just do one more.
All right, let's go to Raina in Hesperia. Hi there.
Hi.
All right, Raina, here's yours. Best New Artist Grammy for the year 2000. All right, here are your nominees. Macy Gray, Kid Rock, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, or Susan Tedeschi?
I'm going to say Christina Aguilera.
You are correct.
Wow.
Well done.
Yay.
All right.
That.
That's not the right button at all.
Very weird.
All right. I think Sarah, Missy, Denise, and Raina, I think, are all in the drawing.
That's correct,
only one win tickets for Saturday night for the pre-Grammy party featuring Death Cab for Cutie. Miss Alan McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Missy.
Missy. Congratulations, Missy.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Enjoy the show. Thanks for playing the game.
Not.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53. Thursday means we talk sports with our friend Jim Rome. That's coming up. And then right after that, we'll talk to Dr. Drew Pinsky for his weekly visit as well. Ben Stiller later this morning. Right now, Ralph Garman's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. What's going on?
Grammys, Grammys, Grammys. It's a special night for music. It's the Grammys.
Is that a song?
Yeah, it's my new opening number. I'm hosting.
You're hosting
this year. Yeah.
I thought it was a...
Stop with that noise.
Isn't that who's hosting?
Always.
Is that you?
It's LL Cool J. He occasionally licks his lips. Never, ever, ever sounds like
dear
that, though.
Sweet
Just
God.
Never sounds like that.
Well, then he should stop it if he doesn't want me to do that.
Gwen Stefani will be performing. She says she's going to be doing something different at the Grammy Awards on Monday night. She said it will be the world's first live music video.
The world's first live music video.
I'm guessing that means she'll perform live.
And then they'll...
And they'll cut away a lot to other things.
Okay.
We'll have to wait and see. It will happen during a commercial break for Target. Ah, that's cute.
That's weird that they're doing it during a commercial break and not just having her perform on the show and filming that.
Gwen didn't say exactly what the whole concept means, but it will be a Target commercial, a live music video slash video for her new single, Make Me Love You, which will be on her new solo album, This Is What the Truth Feels Like. So, Gwen fans,
look for something. We don't know what.
Tune in. Don't go to the bathroom during the commercials. That's the only advice we have for you. Also, the late, great Glenn Frey will get an all-star tribute at the Grammy Awards Monday night. Don Henley, Timothy B. Schmidt, Joe Walsh of the Eagles will be performing, along with the band's original guitarist, Bernie Leadon. They're going to back up Jackson Brown for one of Glenn's tunes. I'm guessing Take It Easy, because Jackson Brown co-wrote that with Glenn Frey, her first big hit for the Eagles. Interestingly enough, they didn't invite that douchebag that they all hate.
Don Felder?
Don Felder, yeah, that one guy. Doesn't get along with anybody. Did you ever watch The History of the Eagles, the documentary they did on Showtime? They broke it down to two parts. It was the history of the band leading up until their breakup in the, I guess, early 80s. And then when they all got back together again for the Hell Freezes Over tour, when they sort of put aside their differences and started touring and recording it together again. So it's done in two parts. And it's really a fascinating story of sort of a quintessential American band story of how they met and got together and became stars and then all hated each other and broke up and then got back together again for a huge paycheck. And they all hated Don Felder. That was the only...
everyone agreed on that.
The only through line that really was continuous through both parts was that Don Felder was a major douchebag.
So we certainly never expected them to get back together. That's for sure.
I thought hell would freeze over before that would
right?
happen.
Oh, geez.
That's what I heard.
That's why they called that tour that thing.
Yeah.
That time.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, how do you feel about the Eagles music?
Fine.
I don't know how you can't like it.
Fine. Fine.
Would you ever listen to it if you're driving home today and little one of these nights or the long run or something like that comes on? Would you listen to it?
Probably. You know,
wow.
For a minute.
Wow.
Probably.
Is there a point with which, though, that you wouldn't be able to deal with it? I mean, could you take it to the limit? Could you listen for the long run, I'm saying? One of these nights, would you just go home and put on some Eagles music and kick back and listen to it?
Have that peaceful, easy feeling as you're listening.
Not responding.
For me, I love the Eagles. I'm a victim of love when it comes to how much I enjoy their music.
I can't tell you why I love them so much.
You can't?
No, but I do.
Yeah.
This thing Kevin's on? Already gone.
This thing on? Come on, Kevin, play. It's fun.
I don't like this game.
Okay.
All right.
I really, because I can't compete.
I don't believe you. I think you've got lion eyes.
Right, that was my favorite one of the whole thing. I got to be honest. That was a good
really?
One.
Yep.
That was
your favorite one?
Yes, it was.
Really? Because I said already gone because you were done.
Yeah.
And that's a song.
Right.
Yeah. No, you'd still
tell
go with Lion Eyes?
I thought was funny. This was Beans.
Get over it. It's another song.
Allie going for the deep cuts.
Yeah,
I like it.
Going for the recent recordings.
Just a desperado.
It doesn't really
it doesn't work,
fit into
Kevin.
The conversation.
But
no,
yeah,
but still, it was a title. It was
sure.
Indeed a title.
He's taking
yeah, he's
a bow.
Literally taking a bow. His headphones have come off his head. Because he bowed too deeply, but it was indeed a bow.
Oh, you
and
are
very,
delight.
Very
I was wrong.
Himself.
I can play this game.
Yeah. And well, too. He crushed that one. And Rob Kardashian may be marrying Blac Chyna. Oh, I hope this is true. This would make so many people in that family so unhappy. Now I'm just rooting for whatever. I'm just want to pile on the dysfunction.
Just
I want
unhappiness.
This white trash, just trailer family. Just a meltdown, like an episode of Cops.
That does make for the most awkward Thanksgiving ever if now she's in the family.
Right, because Blac Chyna, for those you don't know, used to date Tyga, who now is reportedly dating the 12-year-old, right?
Kendall, right?
Kendall.
I don't think
I
she's
think it's
12.
Kylie, and I
Kylie.
Think she's
it's Kylie,
of
right.
age
Klepto.
Now, finally.
Krypton. Chlamydia. I can't remember her name, but... Yeah, so that would be very awkward and strange, but on Instagram yesterday, she posted a photo of her cuddling Rob Kardashian. There's a lot to love. With a diamond ring emoji.
Mm. Oh,
I don't know if Paul McCartney did the soundtrack for that emoji or not, but I hope so.
Don't you
nasty-ass bitch.
She was wearing a diamond on that finger last Monday in a photograph, so it could be true love between the designer sock king and, of course, Blac Chyna. So we're looking forward to that news sometime soon.
I feel like they're gunning for a show. That's what this is all
trying
about.
Trying to get their own reality.
Yeah.
Isn't that what
off?
The whole family's always trying to do, always?
Yeah.
Sock King doesn't do it for you?
King of Socks, this year on E! And speaking of shows that they're all gunning for, Khloe Kardashian's talk show Cocktails with Khloe. See, it's Cocktails with a K. That's why it's funny. The digital and satellite network FYI has picked up yet another 15 episodes of that show because it's just gangbusters. Show features Khloe cooking and having cocktails and playing party games with huge stars, monsters of the entertainment world. Tori Spelling, Neo, King Bach, and T-Pain have all appeared so far. So,
So they
15
they,
more episodes of that for you.
So they cook, and then they eat, and then they play games.
Right.
Okay.
It's a show. Today's celebrity birthdays, Tina Louise. She was Ginger on Gilligan's Island. Oh, I would have wrecked Ginger if I was on that island. Those guys were a bunch of milquetoasts, all of them. An hour into the being stranded.
Yeah, you look at everybody.
I looked around and said, we're here for the long haul.
Right.
Ginger, you and me. Let's get some coconut pie and just head off into the lagoon. Right?
Right. Then Marianne, and then you would just pit them against each other, and you would.
Then just... Mrs. Howell. Then I would just wreck Mrs. Howell.
Why not?
And then I would turn to the fellas. About a year in, I would just destroy the professor.
Speaking of the professor, Ralph, I know this question has been posed.
You don't want to destroy the professor because he's your hope
for last. That's why I get on the professor's good side.
Okay.
Show him a good time. Next thing you know, I'm the one using the coconut radio, right?
Right.
Why was the professor so oblivious to how beautiful those girls were on the island? Like, he never made a play. He was young and handsome and smart. He never made a move on Ginger or Marianne. Why not?
Gilligan.
Oh, really? You think so?
It didn't strike me that way at all. It was just such a surprise. There was no hookups at all.
Wasn't that the bamboo dildo he created a giveaway, a dead giveaway?
First
invention on the island.
I don't remember that.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Burt Reynolds is 8. I'm out of time. There's other people had birthdays. Go look it up. There's a long list. It's a litany of birthdays today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Thursday mornings at this time, we catch up with our good friend Jim Rome from AM 980 The Beast. You can hear his show from 9 till noon. Well, almost every week. He blew us off for some much bigger names last week when he was broadcasting from the Super Bowl. But hey, how are you, Jim? Good to have you on again.
That was such a lame move by me. Guys, I'm sorry about that.
Sure was.
That was so weak.
You absolutely did the right thing.
That was so weak.
Speaking of the Super Bowl, I know we got a lot of new business to cover. There's so much great stuff going on in the NBA that we will get to. But I just one leftover thing I want to ask your opinion on, because we didn't get to talk to you since the game ended, and that is Peyton Manning, he can't be in any trouble for those Budweiser plugs in the post-game interviews, right? Especially if he retires, there's nothing they can do to him, right?
So glad you brought that up. I mean, technically, he can get into trouble with the league for promoting alcohol. You can't do that. Technically, he can get into trouble with the FTC for endorsing a product without revealing that he stands to gain financially from it. But I doubt it. What that really is all about is a guy being an absolute bag at the worst possible moment. I mean, can you believe this guy did this? The clock hits 000. So who do you look to celebrate with? Your coach, your teammates, your family? No, the papa. And not his papa Archie, the other papa, Papa John.
That was one of the weirdest things I've ever
seen. So weird.
Yes. Making out with Papa John at the 50-yard line. Right.
I was going to say, the only thing more bizarre than him gravy training the defense to a ring was him looking to make out with Papa John when it ended. And if that wasn't enough, I mean, he tells us how much Budweiser he wants to slam as well.
Yeah.
Way to class up one of the alleged greatest moments ever by pimping your pizza and your beer and making out with the Papa.
All right, let me ask you this question, because I always just sort of liked Peyton Manning from a distance. Never really paid that close attention. Has he always been this? Because that was lame to me. Has he always been that way?
Yes, he's that guy. Look, he's an amazing player, and I do not begrudge this guy being in every single commercial ever made. I mean, if you can get it, go get it.
Agreed.
But can you at least get off the field before you pimp your pizza and your beer? I mean, to your point, I thought you were better than that, Peyton.
Yeah.
I guess you're not. I mean, that was a really bag move.
Yeah,
bag
I agree.
With a G, it, not a D. Bag, like D bag,
right.
That kind of bag.
Right. It definitely cheapened what was one of the sweetest sports moments of the year. There's no question about that. All right, let's move on. Since last time we spoke, the sentence has come down for Blake Griffin. He has been suspended for 4 games without pay. Is that right, for hitting a guy in the equipment manager?
Sort of like suspended for 4 games without pay, and then they fined him for a 5th game on top of that. So what we're talking about is he's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks already, and then on top of that, 4 more games, and then fine for a 5th. So that's going to run him about $900,000. Hope that was worth it, Blake, although I know it's not. This guy broke his hand trying to break a coworker's face who was half his size, as if they didn't have enough trouble already trying to deal with Golden State, the best team ever. I mean, this is a disaster.
So they suspended him for 4 games, but they're charging him for the 5th game because
exactly.
He hurt his shooting hand? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah. Yes.
That's what they
say. I mean, so does the punishment fit the crime? I don't know that there's ever a punishment that fits a crime. Can I stress this one more time?
Yeah.
That this guy, there are guys taking liberties with this guy every single night on the floor, and he's never done anything, but he broke his hand on the face of a coworker trying to break his face who's half his size.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
Good work, Blake. Good work, now, Blake. And the funny thing is, guys, really quickly, they're playing really well without him. I mean, I wonder if some of these guys are going to go to him and say, hey, Blake, is there a hot dog vendor you want to give the hands to before the playoffs start? Because we're playing pretty well without you and nobody misses you.
And this this team staff member that he hit, he's still with the club, right? So are those guys cool now? Is it going to be all right when Blake comes back to work? Or is there or is there going to be continued tension?
I'm not there, but I'm going to have to guess there's no way that works, right? I mean, if you,
yeah,
if you break
weird.
Your hand on a co-worker's face, one of you has to go. I don't see how that works. And not only that, but they were friends. There are other guys in the locker room who are friends with that guy. So you know it's going to divide the locker room. That's typically not the thing that brings a team closer together. So when he comes back, I don't see how they coexist. Somebody's going to have to go. And if they don't make that run in the playoffs that we've all been waiting for, you got to break that core up at some point. And if somebody's got to go, it seems to me it's Blake.
Wow. Ooh. All right, let's talk about a team that has even more problems than the Clippers, and that is the New York Knicks. They had a 23-31 start this year on the season, and they decided enough is enough. They fired Derek Fisher. Good move?
Yeah, I was just thinking about the other thing, though. Kevin, for instance, like if you broke your hand on Sanchez's face.
Right, which I should do.
Sanchez, one of you has to go, right? It's not going to be you.
Hi, Dave. I would
see
hope.
Dave.
I would
nice
hope.
Knowing you, Sanchez. Yes, you know, back to the other one. So, yeah, yes, Derek Fisher had to go. They were not getting any better with him. See, I think that where I disagree, Phil Jackson would probably tell you, we've got a shot to make the playoffs this year. We lost 9 out of 10. We're not going to make it as long as he's there. We got to make a move. I mean, in effect, the guy admitted he made a mistake. My favorite part of that, though, is Jackson saying that that incident with Matt Barnes had nothing to do with the firing of Derek Fisher. Oh, okay. I mean, what a joke. He got a coach who's running around with a current player. Worse, a former teammate's ex-wife. He gets beat down by that former teammate for doing it, then is late getting back to work because of it. And you're going to tell me that nobody lost respect for him in that locker room? That had nothing to do with it? Trust me, it had something to do with it. The guy pretty much had to go.
All right, speaking I'm sorry, I was just going to ask just a follow-up on the Derek Fisher. Is there a possibility he finds some work back with the Lakers?
Derek Fisher or Phil Jackson? That's the real question. The $64 million question is, will Jeannie Buss fire her brother so she can rehire her fiancé,
yes,
Phil
please.
Jackson? Yes, please.
Yes, please.
You know, it would be a good move. It would be certainly better. Better to fire her brother. Like, Jeannie, to me, she's far and away the smartest person in the organization. Break off your brother. Bring back your old man. You'll be better for it, but it does not make them a championship contender. Unless he can somehow bring back a mid-20s Kobe, but they'd be better for it, sure.
I feel like he has always gone where there's a great team. He went to the Bulls. They had Michael Jordan. He came here. They had Kobe. So might he come with another, with Kobe's replacement next year? Is that a possibility?
The thing is, you're right. The rap's always been, all this guy does is roll the basketball out for Kobe and Shaq and Mike. The guy was actually a very good coach. And you know what? He has not done a terrible job in New York. He's actually done a pretty good job. It would be a bad thing. If he were to bail on them, that'd be admitting defeat. That'd be admitting I couldn't get it done. He'd be a quitter and a failure. So I can't see him bouncing right away. But maybe, I don't know, a year, maybe 2 years down the road, if his health is good, I could see him coming back. But he's not going to win anything without players.
And
he
has now them right now. It's a demotion, though, isn't it, to go from being the president of an NBA team to being a coach?
Well, he's not going to coach. If he comes back, he won't coach. If he comes back, he'll run the organization. And he'll be, hey, look, you can be across the country without your lady getting paid, or you can come back over here and be with your lady and get paid.
Yeah.
And I think he'd probably love to do that, but he can't do it right away.
And then hire Luke Walton.
That's not a bad idea.
Thank you. You're
That's
welcome.
That's not a bad idea.
Station.
I've heard much worse ideas. Good work,
right.
Allie. Good,
thank
good
you,
answer.
Jim.
Thank good
you.
Answer. Show me Luke Walton.
He's family feuding us right now.
9 to noon on AM 90 The Beast. Don't miss the Jim Rome Show today and every weekday. A pleasure, sir. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Dr. Drew is on the phone. Wasn't he just on this radio station like 8 hours ago?
I believe so, yeah.
Dr. Drew, how are you up and already talking to us again this morning?
I'm up, but I'm tired, dude. I thank you for noticing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a tough schedule Dr. Drew does. He's got the HLN show at 6 o'clock Monday through Thursday night. He's on the air in the afternoons with Mike Catherwood on KABC. And, of course, Loveline 5 nights a week here on K-Rock. We had something we wanted to talk to you about that I don't think we've ever discussed before, Dr. Drew.
Before we get into it, two things I want to interrupt you on. One is I'm actually over at the Corolla Empire right now about to do my podcast that I do with him twice a week.
Okay.
Oh,
and
nice.
People need to check that out at drdrew.com. And Last night we had the Idiot Sitter girls on, the women from that. Have you guys had them?
Yes, we have. Yeah. We sure have. They're fun, right?
Very talented. So very one of the best love lines I've had in a long time. Laughed my ass off. So.
Yeah, check out that show on Comedy Central. It's called Idiot Sitter. It's really funny. All right, here's the topic, Dr. Drew. This made national news a couple of days ago, about a week ago or so. Ted Cruz is running for president on the Republican ticket, as you know. He's in Iowa, and he says at one point during his speech, if my daughter Catherine, the five-year-old, says something she knows to be false, she gets a spanking. And a lot of people kind of jumped on that, and it kind of reignited the age-old debate about whether it's okay to spank your children. Is there ever an acceptable reason to hit a child, or is that now completely out of fashion and doesn't work and is detrimental to the kid? And it's been interesting, and I know you know this, Dr. Drew, but the opinion of Americans has changed quite a bit over the last 25 years or so, from a time where it was considered very acceptable to now a time where it is considered among most people absolutely never acceptable. And I wanted to know what your thoughts were on that.
Right, and certainly people then point at the millennials and go, see, they're spoiled. If we had just hit them, they would have been better, which is, I'm not sure, great logic.
Does anyone think that it's that simple?
Yeah, I
they do, okay.
But yeah, it's a complex topic. And I think you guys also saw, we covered on HLN, this is what got us into this conversation, a sheriff who had a teenager shackled who spit on the sheriff's car, who then started smacking him in the face and reignited this conversation on our program. And there's one dividing line. You know, the question is, where is the point in which corporal punishment becomes definitely damaging?
Right.
And there's one dividing line that is simply unassailable. It's been studied and studied and studied, and it's just clear. That is when you pick up an object and hit a child. When that happens, your increased risk of depression, other mental health issues, and problematic behaviors starts to go up exponentially, and the more you do it, the more that risk climbs. There's just a direct relationship. And, you know, I was talking to someone that's a frequent contributor on a program at HLN named Deneen Manette. She works in prisons. And I had someone that was like a teacher at a college. And I just said, ask people you work around, how many of them were hit as a child? Around the college, the kids that were high performing, I think it was an MIT professor, none of them. At the jail where Deneen Manette worked, 100% of them.
So really?
Wow. Just generally, there you go. Just generally.
But that's anecdotal.
Allie was hit, and I was hit.
Versus 100%.
But what I'm saying is,
versus 100.
Look at us, though. We're successful.
Right? We're good.
We're good.
I can't walk past a wooden spoon in Bed Bath & Beyond to save my life, but
there's
I'm good.
No doubt that a wooden spoon, maybe a tennis racket, leads to careers in radio. If that's what you like for your kids, I'm just saying.
Dr. Drew, yeah. Look, we had this conversation off the air with Omar, who is a parent, and he is 100%, I will never, ever hit my kid. His opinion is, if you hit your kid, that's just you not willing to put in the time or have the patience to properly teach your child. And I know that that sounds great on paper, but I bet a lot of parents would tell you, if they're speaking honestly, that they're not necessarily just hitting their kids out of rage or out of frustration. It's sometimes the only way to get their attention, the only way to drive home an important point. Are they wrong to say that or think that?
They're not wrong, and neither is Omar wrong. They're both kind of right, because now we're backing down to the issue of spanking. So this is sort of open hand patting or smacking, and the question is, does that become a problem? There's one agreed upon moment where people say it is okay to spank, and that is when the child is doing something imminently dangerous or harmful, and you need the behavior to stop now. The problem is that when you study doing that, when you actually hit a child to stop a behavior now, you will see within a few days an increase in that same behavior that you were trying to stop. So there's sort of a rebound effect to spanking. But okay, so if you need to do that, okay.
Can you spank on the rebound?
Well, that's the point. You start escalating things, and you don't get to shape the behavior you're trying to shape. It's not an effective way to shape behavior. I have nothing philosophically, you know, if it worked, if it was something effective, I'd be an advocate. So, again, I'm just a pragmatist. I just look at the data, and I say, you know, if it's good, do it. If it's not good, don't do it. And this is not just not good, but really adds to risk for problems. Listen, it's and the other thing is, you said about the people who use the spanking, they're just out of frustration, they're not trying to hurt their kids, they don't. The fact is, though, there's this intergenerational transmission of this material that people in their head justify it by saying, I needed this, it was good for me. They actually identify with the person who is abusing them and say to themselves, that's how I need to be with my kids, when exactly the opposite is true. It's the classic intergenerational transmission of trauma, and you kind of have to break that cycle, or you end up with that 100% population having behavioral problems, right, ending up in prison.
This is going to make no sense, probably, but I was spanked with a paddle when I was a kid three times. Mm-hmm. I remember it, and I needed it, and I've never touched my kids that way.
Good. How's your back feel?
Great. No, but because, I'm saying I feel happened, like I needed it. And
no, because what happens, one of the things that happens when kids get injured like that is the information coming out of their body becomes disorganized, and a part of the brain called the insular cortex can get charged up, and they can be prone to pain syndromes and preoccupations with their body. That's one of the potential side effects, wow, of hitting with an object.
What would your advice be, Dr. Drew, on a substitute punishment to get the message through to the kid that what you did was not okay, that behavior was inappropriate, and you need to pay attention and learn? What do you advise parents to do?
I am not a child development or behavioral specialist. We actually – I can tell you one thing, that if you're finding yourself yelling or hitting, there's a problem. There's some deficiency in the strategies you're using, and you missed opportunities at least three steps back to shape the child's behavior. We had triplets, and we found ourselves yelling a lot when they were about 3 or 4 years old. So we went to a behaviorist and said, what do we do? And he said, read this book, do exactly what it says. We did it, and our lives changed in like 2 weeks.
Wow.
And we'd stop. All the yelling stopped. Everything stopped. So you know that there's something wrong in the approach you're taking. So consult with somebody. It's hard to say specifically for any given family unit exactly what the strategy should be. Certainly lots of literature out there. Go online. Go to bookstores. And start to apply these things, but carefully and, again, optimally with some sort of consultation.
I think that is great advice, and it's definitely if you find yourself in that situation where you're thinking you have to hit a kid, I think it's worth stopping and talking to somebody,
yeah,
and learning about it and coming
not
up with
it
an alternate
work.
Strategy.
If it worked, if it led to only good things, fantastic. But it doesn't.
All right. Great stuff. Dr. Drew on Love Line, Sunday through Thursday nights here on K-Rock, weekday afternoons on KABC, and, of course, the Dr. Drew on HLN show airs Monday through Thursday nights at 6. Hey, take a nap or something, Dr. Drew. We'll see
done.
You on the TV tonight.
Done.
Thanks for coming on.
And done.
Thank you.
Ben Stiller joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about his new film in theaters this weekend, Zoolander 2. First, though, speaking of movies, time for Ralph Garman and what's going on?
Nothing, man. We're just waiting for you,
just
son.
Waiting, man.
All right. Let's open up the movie vault.
Nope. You just don't
didn't
listen
we
anymore.
We just have a conversation about
it.
The movie vault.
We had a conversation, and we said we're not doing that.
I said the sound effects are lame. Let's not do that.
So we're not doing that. We're just gonna play the clips. That was the whole conversation that you
here's
just
Ralph Garman not in the movie vault.
Ignored.
We'll edit all of this out before it gets on the air.
Don't worry
about
it. I'm glad.
Ralph, tell us about this movie.
Here to talk about the gift that we all received yesterday from the internet gods at funnierdie.com. We didn't know it was coming. It was a surprise, and it was just delicious.
I've rarely seen you so happy.
It was
because it's freaking
awesome. It is a parody that works on so many levels that you rarely see in an internet video. And it's an hour long. It's a major production from the folks at funnierdie.com. It is the TV movie version of Donald Trump's book, The Art of the Deal, that never really happened. But what if it had? What if Donald Trump and his infinite ego had decided to write, direct, and star in a TV movie version of his book from the 80s, The Art of the Deal, as if it was made in 1988? So it's as if we're watching it on an old VHS copy, and Johnny Depp stars as Donald Trump.
That's crazy.
That's the most shocking thing of all.
He is buried beneath a mound of makeup that makes him look uncannily like Trump. And it's funny on so many levels. It parodies 80s movies, and it takes the you-know-what out of Donald Trump. And it makes you realize that we can't elect him. He'd be unelectable. He's just such a clown. So the premise is it's like one of those hoary old 80s movies where a kid runs into his hero and hears his backstory, and Donald Trump runs into this little kid who has stolen his book, The Art of the Deal, because he can't find it anywhere, because it's sold out everywhere at every store, so he has to steal it. and he meets Donald Trump. But the whole thing kicks off with a classic 80s theme song done by Kenny Loggins. As if it was for real. Here's the theme song to Art of the Deal. The only
so
art
good?
That matters.
Wow.
Talk about paintings and sculptures, I think, whatever. The only art that matters is the art of the deal. And here is a little kid meeting his hero, Donald Trump, for the first time.
Holy cowabunga. You're Donald Trump.
That is my name, and you cannot wear it out. Trust me. You must really want this book.
All the stores are sold out.
Do you know that this is the second best-selling book of all time? After the Bible, which took 12 guys to write. You know what? It's boring.
It's boring. So the kid gets to see Donald Trump in action, sees him on the phone with Lee Iacocca, talking about how they're both rich white guys and they should stick together, and saying how awful Mayor Koch is at the time. That's what Trump calls him throughout the video. And he's on the phone also talking about his daughter, his lovely young daughter, who he just has great hopes for as she grows up.
I want my daughter to grow up and be someone that I would totally have sex with.
That's right. Those are his goals for his daughter.
His goals have been
recognized. Those are his goals now.
Yes, absolutely. I think his wishes came true. So he's spending time with this kid, teaching him about the art of the deal and telling him his life story. But at one point, things go horribly wrong when the actor playing the kid is uncovered by writer-director star Donald Trump, and he has to cease production and recast the kid on the spot.
This is a prototype for a new line of Trump steaks. This is the finest meat anywhere since Kelly McGillis from Top Gun. Try some.
Do you got any salsa?
Salsa on an American steak?
Whoa, easy, kid.
What's your name again?
Jose?
It's not working out with this kid. Let's go to a commercial.
So was the NFL violating antitrust laws?
They go to a commercial and they come back. It's a completely different kid. played by an Asian kid. Who then also gets fired and recast with a black kid. And they don't even talk to him. Trump just looks into the camera and they cut away and it's back again with a different kid. This time a lily white kid for the remainder of the film. Plays the little child who's talking to Donald Trump. One of the things you find out in the movie version of Art of the Deal when they show Trump's marriage to Ivanka is that his best man, because it is the 80s, was none other than the legendary Alf. And Alf gives a very touching toast to Donald Trump about how Donald Trump saved his life and how he is going to be forever dedicated to Donald Trump.
Donald, I could never repay you for what you've done, but I will die trying. I love you, Donald Trump.
You know what? You too, Alf. You are the only illegal alien I truly love. True. Shush.
To Donald Trump. Yeah. Now everybody, Wang Chung tonight.
Because it is the 80s, and they all get up and start dancing at Donald's wedding. And, of course, it wouldn't be an 80s movie without an appearance from Doc Brown from Back to the Future. Christopher Lloyd actually reprises his role.
Really fantastic.
Shows up as Doc Brown. He's just traveled from 2016 in the DeLorean. It is Donald Trump's 40th birthday. He's about to blow out his birthday candles. But Doc shows up with a dire warning.
Stop! Don't blow out those candles. It'll set off a chain of events that ends with you becoming president.
That's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous. It's catastrophic. I've come all the way from the year 2016 to stop it.
Hey, buddy, why don't you just sit down? We could have some cake, and we could talk about this.
So Alf tries to calm him down. Donald Trump goes back in time to kill Christopher Lloyd before he gets to play the role of Doc Brown.
Oh, come on. What?
So that he sets the events in motion, and 2016 Donald Trump shows up with a Make America Great hat again to talk to 40-year-old Donald Trump, and then the kid and Donald Trump do blow out the candles, and in typical 80s movie fashion, something magical happens and they switch bodies, and now Trump's body, Trump is inside the little kid's body, and the little kid is inside Trump. It is so funny on so many levels. And stick around for the bonus scene where Donald Trump basically gives the finger to everyone and says, F cats, F dogs, F you, it's all about me, F blacks, F Mexicans, F foreigners. And it's Johnny Depp as you've never seen him before in a film that is funny on so many levels. Congratulations to the people of Funny Die. Did a great job with it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:52.
Hey, is that Empire of the Sunset?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to get those guys on.
Yes.
Good
right?
call.
Absolutely. Right.
This is one of those deals where a song's like 5 years old, and then it shows up in a commercial, and boom, everybody goes, hey, what about that song? And then the band is like, hey, where were you when we put that song on 5 years ago?
I love stories like that. All right, we'll talk to Ben Stiller coming up just after 9. First Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning. What's happening?
Then we need to get Disturbed on. Talk about Sound of Silence.
See?
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
It's a strange story.
We're just talking about the Funny or Die Trump movie starring Johnny Depp as Donald J. Trump. This email came in from Roger Pollard. I want to give him a shout-out. He said, I wanted to thank you for turning me on to the Funny or Die Trump movie. It has provided many, many laughs. Now, can you help me find a job, as mine was terminated due to my inability to pay attention while watching the Funny or Die Donald Trump movie? Thanks all from Houston, Texas, Roger Pollard. Listen, watch at your own peril, I always say.
I've never heard you say that once.
All the time.
Not one time. I don't think.
This is TV news that is both exciting and disturbing to me. Exciting because, as you know, I have a deep, deep abiding love for Haley Atwell.
Yes.
Star of Agent Carter on ABC. Well, news has come forth from ABC that they have cast her in the lead of their new drama pilot, Conviction, where she will play the rebellious daughter of a former president who was blackmailed into taking a job as the head of the newly created Conviction Integrity Unit. A team of lawyers, investigators, and forensic experts will investigate cases where there's credible suspicion that the wrong person may have been convicted of a crime.
Yes, Ellie, you have a question.
But what
right.
about Agent Carter?
Right.
How is she going to do
Are
that?
Are there odds that that ABC would have two TV series starring Haley Atwell?
Well, if they're
the same
smart,
time?
Sure.
Well, yes.
She's that good.
But some people are afeared that this could be the writing on the wall saying that perhaps ABC is thinking wrongly of perhaps not renewing Agent Carter for a third season. Which would be a tragic event of biblical proportions were that to pass.
Similar, that's not acceptable.
Similar to the floods.
I'm not positive that it's similar to
Noah
the floods.
Noah scurrying to his ark. That
may be an overstatement.
The locusts descending upon the crops of Egypt.
Just by
the
a
death of the firstborn.
Right.
Blood running in the streets, all those would seem insignificant were Agent Carter to be canceled, I'm saying.
Well, she wasn't just on the show, so there's no way you guys jinxed it, so that's good.
How dare you?
Oh.
But Agent Carter is so fun. It's so unlike anything else on television. It needs to live on forever and ever and ever.
All right, Nick.
I'm going to write a feature film based on Agent Carter and have them bring it back.
Where's Nick? I miss Nick. Anyway, here's what we're hoping for. We're hoping for two Haley Atwell TV series,
that
right?
would be best case.
Look at her. Look at her. Look at her. Look at her face. Yeah. Look at her little face right
just
there.
Just
picture in this article right here. Just look at her. Just look just wonderful and lovely.
Daddy likey.
Oh. And then he makes it gross.
Come on,
Bean. He has to ruin it.
It wasn't me. It was that caller, you guys.
Now we know the name of Kanye West's new album. He's teased this, man. He's given us red herring after red herring. Oh, it's Waves. Oh, it's Swish. Oh, it's Finger Booty. Remember that one? It was going to be Finger Booty for
Finger
a while?
Finger Booty, right, yeah.
Yeah. Now we know. It's TLOP.
These nuts?
No, it's not.
TLOP.
TLOP stands for The Life of Pablo.
The Life of Pablo.
Yes.
¿Quién es Pablo?
Excellent question, young Mexican girl.
Pablo Picasso, possibly? Or Pablo Escobar, suggests TMZ. Regardless, we don't know. We'll have to wait. He's a mystery wrapped in a riddle, enveloped in a conundrum.
Yeah, I don't care that much. I'll just wait until he says it, and then I'm fine. I don't really need to do deep research on this one.
Will you not be watching the free live stream at Tidal.com today at 1 p.m.?
No, sir.
When Kanye performs his entire new album and unveils his new Season 3 clothing line at Madison Square Garden?
I will not.
Oh, okay. Then all those details are just wasted on you, I guess.
I believe he's the musical guest on SNL this weekend as well.
I believe you're correct.
We might see some new music there as well.
Melissa McCarthy will be the host of that show, by the way.
That's going to be funny.
And Paul McCartney is back. Yes, the legendary Beatle is still creating magic.
Define magic.
With his enormous musical talents. He is as relevant today as he ever was. You know how I know it? Because now he's working with emojis. And that's that's hip. That's today. That's now.
You think that's how the pitch went to him? The kids are really into this.
So anyway, Sir Paul, here's the thing. Here's the problem with your image. You know, oh, Beatles, okay, we love the Beatles. But what about today? What about the hip today kid? The kid who doesn't know from the Beatles. You know what they know? Emojis.
Oh, you may be right. I'm going to have to work with the emojis.
You thought it was a band?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Skype has come up with things they call love emojis.
Okay.
They are animated emojis just in time for Valentine's Day. While you're Skyping with the one you love, you drop in this little animation. And it's Cupid shooting an arrow. It's two snakes intertwining together in a snaky hug.
Okay. You know, what a snaky hug is.
It's emojis of love.
Right.
But what is an animated emoji without a musical underscore? Without vocal stylization? Without sounds and fury?
It's an emoji.
Yes, but you need, Kevin, you need okay. to have it have
none of them
sound.
Have that.
It's but this is an animated emoji,
I see.
So
okay.
It needs to have sound.
Right.
And so they turned to the best, Paul McCartney, who now has been scoring and voicing all of these love emojis for Skype. And it's some of his best work ever, I think. If you go to the behind-the-scenes documentary on him making love emojis, you see him slaving away in the studio, coming up with genius pieces of music. Please listen.
The blushing bride sends this via Skype.
Come yep. on, that's
Paul,
not real.
Paul whistling into a microphone.
That is not real.
And making this noise.
That's not
Who
real.
Who but Paul
real.
McCartney could come up with, woo. It's as iconic as the opening chords of Maybe I'm Amazed.
Do you think nobody's there that goes, hey, Paul?
This sound, woo, is the Hey Jude of emojis. You don't get it. You people don't get
it. He was whistling, Ralph.
It's pearls before swine. He's wasting his genius on you. Who could do that but Paul?
All of us.
It's time to lay down, Paul.
Yeah.
Take a nap. You've earned it. Today's celebrity birthdays, Tina Louise. She was Ginger on Gilligan's Island for all those years. 82 years old today. She was the first one to distance herself from the project.
Oh, she was.
She never returned for any of the reunion movies when the Gilligan's Island hosted the Harlem Globetrotters at their resort that they built on the island. She was nowhere to be found. She walked away. Bet she regrets it now, man.
She's a bitch.
Oh, come on. Burt Reynolds is 80. Sheryl Crow's 54. Sarah Palin is 52 years old today. She's still so entertaining. I want her to voice my emojis. Oh, you betcha. Every time an emoji comes on. Jennifer Aniston's 47. Damian Lewis, who's so brilliant over there on Billions on Showtime. If you're not watching, do yourself a favor. Check it out. Kelly Slater's 44. Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park is 39. Brandy is 37. Kelly Rowland from Destiny's Child is 35 years old. Natalie Dormer, you know her from Game of Thrones and The Tudors, 34 years old. And actor Taylor Lautner celebrates his 24th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Wake up, you need to make
money. If you ever get a chance to see Ali sing along with that song, do. She's super thug life when she's singing those lyrics.
Thank
That's
you.
True.
Thank you.
Hey, congratulations to our latest winner here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is Jonathan Brody from Crestline. Like, that's a real place. He is going to be enjoying a party on Saturday night. It's at the Grammy Museum at LA Live, ahead of the Grammys themselves on CBS Monday night. Intimate performance from the band Death Cab for Cutie is going to be happening as well. More chances for you to win coming up. All the details at krock.com.
We're waiting for Ben Stiller to talk about Zoolander 2. Do we have time to play my remix of Puppy Monkey Baby?
I think we always do.
Sure. Not very long.
Man, I might just chill tonight. Puppy Monkey Baby. 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 Puppy Baby. Monkey. Puppy Monkey Baby. 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 Puppy Monkey Baby.
It's a good use of 51 seconds, I think.
Agreed.
Look, I know it's not real. I understand. I get the fact that it's made up for the Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah, it was just a commercial bean.
It's a puppy mixed with a monkey mixed with a baby. I understand all of that.
The three greatest things in the world.
Right. But I'm telling you, it's terrifying. I'm telling you, it's a terrifying
thing. It's not terrifying at all.
By terrifying, you mean amazing.
It exists only in my nightmares is what I'm telling you. I don't want to live in a world where a puppy monkey baby is a thing. That's all I'm saying.
We're very different.
I do want to live in a world where Zoolander 2 is a thing as we welcome our old friend Ben Stiller back to the Kevin and Bean Show. And my first question for you, Mr. Stiller, would be, why the rush, man? Jesus.
You know, we shot in Italy, okay?
Right.
And they have a, and they have a 2.5-hour workday, so we started back in 2003.
Wow. Nice.
All right.
Quite a process.
Took a while to get it together. That makes a lot of sense.
You know, they work for an hour, you take a smoke break, work for another hour, wine break, and sure. You know, so it takes a little time. But it took a few years. We weren't even thinking we were going to do it, and then over the years, the audience for the movie kind of grew. You know, at first nobody really went to see it in the theater.
Mm-hmm. And then, did people then start asking you the question, when is 2 coming out? When is 2 coming out?
Yeah, I would get it over. Yeah, I get it a lot over, especially over like the last 10 years. And people would say, "How are you ever going to do a sequel?" And it's a tough thing because you know I wanted to do one because I enjoyed the first one a lot, and I felt like the first one never really we never really got to really get into it because it just sort of kind of came and went. So
right.
So feeling that there was an audience there was okay, yeah, let's get into this, but then. You know, then it's like, how are we going to approach it? How are we going to restart the story? And more time would go by. And we'd think, well, Derek had a son at the end of the first one. You know, when we first started thinking about doing a sequel, oh, he has like a 5-year-old son. Then we, you know, go in and, oh, now he has a 10-year-old son. And now he has a 15-year-old. He had to do it before his son was 48.
So, Ben, let me ask you this, because I was thinking about this the other day. The world has changed a lot in a lot of different ways since the movie first came out in 2001. And one of the ways it has changed, and this must affect you a lot as a guy who creates comedy, is the political correctness factor has been ramped up so much. I feel like it's much more dangerous to do some of the things you like to do in your movies now than it would have been 15 years ago.
Yeah, I guess that is true. You know, I mean, I've experienced it over the years where you just kind of, you have to take the chances that you feel are right for what you're doing. And it's hard not to get hamstrung by that. But as long as you feel like you have a sense of what joke you're telling and it's coming from the right place, then you have to kind of go with it. I mean, we experienced it on Tropic Thunder because we had some, sort of edgy, I guess, characters.
It wasn't PC, if that's what you're saying, yes.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And, and I feel like you just have to kind of go with what you think is funny and right for what you're doing, knowing that you know that your heart is in the right place with it, and then, be willing to deal with it. So, yeah, but definitely I think it's gotten a little more.
Sensitive. I mean, just when the trailer came out with the Benedict Cumberbatch character, which is a funny, fascinating character, I mean, just the way we talk about sexuality as a society has changed so much in the last 5 years. I'm sure you weren't surprised that you did get some blowback on that character, even though it's completely harmless and funny in the movie.
I wasn't surprised. I also respect that, there's that sensitivity because the transgender community has, there's been huge strides in the last few years in terms of acceptance, and it's a real thing. But again, like, I felt like we had to kind of put out there what we thought, knowing where we were coming from with it. And the tough thing with that was just it was sort of, I think, prejudged before people were seeing the context of it in the movie.
Talking to Ben Stiller about Zoolander 2, which is out, I think, tonight at like 7
tonight,
o'clock.
7 o'clock.
About
really?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Here in L.A.
Or tomorrow. Okay. Either way. Yeah. You directed the movie. I can't imagine getting all of the schedules of all of the people. I mean, it's you and Owen Wilson and Will Ferrell and Penelope Cruz and Kristen Wiig. But then you have Sting and Justin Bieber and Katy Perry. You have a bunch of these cameos. What was the planning of that like?
Yeah, well, that's why it took 15 years also. it was hard just because we were shooting the movie in Rome, so it was, you know, getting people there. A lot of people wanted to be a part of it, but a lot of it was juggling, you know, who's available when, and we would reach for certain people who, you know, who we really wanted, who were interested, but then they weren't available. And so it was a constant juggling of, you know, of the logistics of it, and then also trying to figure out who we thought would be the funniest to, you know, be a part of the movie, either because you wouldn't expect them, or they felt right because they're a part of the story or some sort of connection with the first movie.
All right, speaking of you wouldn't expect them, what was your pitch like to Neil deGrasse Tyson? was he aware of the first movie?
What's that?
Was he aware of the first movie?
He was aware of the first movie, and, you know, he has a good sense of humor. And, you know, I called him up and said, hey, you know, there's this moment in the movie that we think would be funny, and then I just tried to explain the scene to him, and, you know, it's a fun moment in the movie. Right now we're talking about it, of course, but it won't be as much
fun. Thanks, Kevin. I just wanted to know what...
At an unexpected moment, and for us it was a great, you know, it was great to have him be a part of it, and then I actually asked him to come back to do something else, and he was, you know, he was very concerned that he wanted to make sure that it worked properly in the movie, because I think he approaches it from a very scientific, you know, aspect.
So. Oh, yeah. Oh, Neil deGrasse Tyson is the guy who wants to ruin everybody's fun by telling you that Star Wars isn't real. I mean, that's that dude.
Oh, right.
Hey, did you get any blowback from Beliebers for killing their god?
For doing the right thing?
You know, not yet, though I'm sure there is. I'm
Brace
sure
yourself.
There is out there. You know, I feel like he dies a noble death, I'm afraid. For a good cause.
Sure. You think they'll appreciate it then?
Yeah, sure.
Ben, maybe it'll be cathartic for some of them. Maybe they, you know, maybe they, you know, they have to deal with it at some point. So
sure. It's like pre-healing.
Right. Yeah, there you go. What about this, sir? You're very kind to squeeze us in. We know how busy you are. It's always a great pleasure to talk to the show. But what about this? How are you able to make fun of the fashion industry the way you do? Because that's what Zoolander partly is all about, is making fun of how silly that whole world is, but also embrace it to the point where you are so accepted by Vera Wang and Valentino and all those people, where they're willing to kind of play ball with you, making fun of their industry so much. That seems like a fine line to walk.
Yeah, I mean, not really, I think, as hard as you would think, because I think they do have a sense of humor about it all. And the first time around, nobody really knew what we were doing. You know, in the fashion world, they didn't know the character as well, and they were aware of it because we've done a couple of shorts on the VH1 Fashion Awards. But over the years, the fashion world has kind of embraced the movie. I think they like it and they appreciate it. So, you know, when we came around to the second one, I reached out to Anna Wintour and to First, really, to you know, say, hey, this is what we're doing. And I think they got that it was, you know, it's a pretty ridiculous comedy and we're going to be having fun with everybody. And they were willing to go for it. You know, I think people don't give them as much credit for having a sense of humor about themselves.
Yeah, well, it's a miracle that you made a funny, you know, blue steel face, and you're able to turn it into a franchise, Ben. That is to your credit, my friend. Congratulations on being back with Zoolander.
Thanks, man. Good to talk
to you. Great to talk to you. We always enjoy it. Thanks for calling.
I don't feel like that was as good as I do it, but what are you gonna do, right?
What are we talking about?
You guys
about?
With me? That song,
Adventure of a Lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you sing it better? Oh.
I feel like I did.
Okay.
I
wish we had that audio.
Yeah. Better.
Kevin, are you a karaoke guy?
Have you ever met Kevin?
I didn't know if that was something that he would do. Like, would you,
yes.
If you had drunk enough, would you get up on stage and sing a song in front of people?
Yes, I would in a second, yeah.
And I know you would.
And I don't really have to drink much.
Yeah. How about you, Allie?
Yeah.
Really?
She kind of argued with Mr. Belding.
Yeah, I said that earlier in the show. It was like 2 hours ago, so
Bean
I can imagine
listen.
How
Bean
you forget.
Anymore. We've discovered right? Bean no longer listens.
Is it possible he's
across
deaf?
Across the board.
Is it possible he's deaf and
we've
he just
had
gets
meeting
like a...
after meeting where Bean just disregards things that are just said for hours in front of him. Complete disregard. Things that happen on the show, things happen in the same conversation. He will just not hear it.
Yeah, he's got like a bad stenographer up there just like typing like crazy and misprints everywhere.
It's like the bad... closed caption for the deaf on
right.
television when they misspell things and get it all wrong.
That's what he's getting
Bean
from
us. Bean has just given up hope. He's just stopped listening.
Bean's that's fascinating.
Dick. Right.
Yes. Two things I have to ask real quick before we get into the showbiz beat. Did you guys hear about that thing in Iceland now where you can get an Iceland buddy will meet you if you visit their country and show you around? Have you guys heard about that? We should do something with that on the show. And also, Zoolander's coming out. Let's try to get Ben Stiller to talk to us.
Right.
So. Okay, back to you. Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning.
Did you guys talk to Stig Verdundenlarben?
That's close.
Wasn't,
we may not have
you
gotten
added letters that weren't even in the man's name. A pronunciation that was just...
I felt it was a difficult name. I gave it a good go. What are you going to do?
That's what my point is. You did not give it a good go.
What are you going to do?
No good goes were given.
Not one good go.
Nope.
It was one good
you
go.
You kept all the good goes and gave none of the good
goes. It was
goes.
A half-hearted give?
No. Half-hearted go?
Neither.
Mm. Back to you.
It was a take stop more than a give go.
What do you think Bean heard right there? That whole take stop conversation.
He's just drinking chocolate milk, listening to NPR.
You're being quite rude.
Adele! Big news broke yesterday that she was doing a one-off concert at the Wiltern. What a tiny little venue to see a megastar like Adele. How cool would that be?
Pretty cool.
Really
yeah.
cool.
She said in her announcement, Ali is not welcome,
oh.
she said in her press release.
Well,
we did.
Allie's desperate to get tickets for this, but she's not going to go, and she just can't come to grips with the fact that she's not going to be there.
Well, I signed up for Adele.com months ago
uh-huh.
because I knew that would give me an upper hand when I was getting my
would,
Staples Center ticket.
Adele.com, fans of hers, they probably just signed up like a week ago, so you're probably well ahead of the curve.
I'm just saying, I did everything right.
Fans of hers have been on that website for years.
Well, yeah, but long-time she didn't have fans. This North American tour years ago, so I'm just saying, I did everything that I should have done and could have done, and still nothing.
Tickets were only available to
never win.
Hardcore local fans registered with Adele.com. They got the tickets for the Wiltern show tomorrow.
Ali has no friends!
All I need is one ticket.
Plus Ali has one. No friends. Hey, I would like
guys,
to see you at the Wiltern, just pressing your ear
same.
Up against the door on the side of the building.
There. I've thought about it.
She'd
like,
be singing at the top of her lungs, though. That would drive everybody on the street crazy.
Hello!
Oh, my God! What a disaster.
Car crashes on Wiltshire, just people pulling over to watch the insane homeless woman screaming lyrics to Adele songs.
Hey, Ali, I've got a question for you.
Yes, Bean.
I know how you fear murder and therefore don't date, but what if a listener of ours got Adele tickets?
Oh, snap.
And reached out to you and invited you as his guest.
Oh, no, you didn't.
To see Adele at the Wiltern.
His or her.
Would we have to, like, hang out at the show, or could I just buy them a drink and be like, see ya?
We'd probably be sitting next to each other.
Yeah,
I'll
be sitting next to
each other. It's not seats at the Wiltern, is there?
Yes.
It's
only all seats. There's only all seats.
I've
only
been
that.
Very
so
drunk there.
What I'm saying is, if a listener emailed you and said, "Ali, I was lucky enough to get tickets for the Wiltern show. I know how much you love her. I'm also a fan. I don't have a date. Please go with me." Would you do it?
Yeah.
Again, remember murder.
Yeah, I would.
Wow.
You would.
Yeah.
Wow. Ali is willing to forgive and forego all of her hard and fast rules.
For Adele, yes.
For Adele.
All right, how about if he also wanted to take you hiking?
No. No, yes. You never go on a hike or a cruise, ever.
Right.
They will murder
what
you.
What if he wanted to hike you to a cruise ship?
All right, if you have a ticket for Adele, call
yes.
now. 1-800-520-1067.
Right. I love you.
Thank you.
There's apparently no limit to what Ali will do for Adele tickets. That's what we're
it
finding
sounds
out
like
today.
It.
So.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, well indeed.
Well indeed.
Hey, we were just talking to Ben Stiller about sequels. How excited are you about Bad Boys 3? About the Bad Boys 3, right? Hello?
Yeah.
Is this thing on? Bad Boys?
That's Martin Lawrence and Will Smith?
Right. A lot of people thought it would never happen. Bad Boys 2 was released way back in 2013. Nope, 2003. Or 2003, as we used to say
back
then.
They would say 2003.
2003. And there's been speculation that there would be a third for some time now, but it has not come to pass. However, Will Smith and Martin Lawrence ran into each other a few weeks ago. Will says the duo looked at each other, and they hugged. And at that moment, Will Smith instinctively knew that they would do another one.
Okay.
So the moral story is we have to keep Will Smith and Lawrence from hugging each other, apparently. That's where bad things are born, in that hug. So we're going to get that, it looks like. Better for worse. Gilmore Girls revival still ramping up. Dave is beside himself.
He really
in the
is
office.
So excited.
He's like, you didn't mention that Milo Ventimiglia is coming back to the show, and also Jared Padalecki. Or it's Jared Padalecki to most
of
us.
You know,
but Dave has problems.
Got to add
vowels.
Dave to it.
So they are returning.
I think it's almost all the major players except Melissa McCarthy are back for Gilmore Girls.
Yes. Is it bad? I've never seen an episode of Gilmore Girls.
That is bad.
It's a really good show.
You're bad for a lot of other reasons.
I'm sure it is. But you know,
don't be too hard on yourself.
You can't catch everything in this life.
No, you can't.
Lee Majors is returning to television. Now we're talking, right? $6 Million Man. Of course, Lee Majors will be guest starring in an upcoming second season episode of the Star series Ash vs. Evil Dead.
I love that.
He'll be playing Ash's dad.
Great casting.
Great casting. Love that show.
Same.
And he, I mean, he seems, he looks just like Bruce Campbell, too.
They do have a similar look about themselves. Ted Raimi, Sam's brother, will also be joining in the cast in the second season, playing Ash's childhood best friend, Chet Kaminsky. And Ted's been in all the Evil Dead features, so it's a reunion of sorts. Looking forward to that as well. And I was surprised to see that J.K. Rowling is releasing another Harry Potter book.
I just saw a tweet like 5 minutes ago that said it's not another novel. It isn't another book.
What?
I don't know what's happening with this.
It's a, I think
it is
the clarification I heard is that it's the script for the play is what it is.
In book form?
In it coming out in a book, yeah.
So they're just going to publish the script to the play.
That's what it sounds like.
So it will not be a book.
Oh, she tweeted, to be clear, the script of Cursed Child is being published. Not a novel, not a prequel.
Well, there you go.
She's a bitch.
She right? is so, not. She
so
is
So now
lovely.
We know, for real. Right?
No.
But she, look, I can understand the confusion because she has, as Ralph pointed out earlier, she's kind of jerking us around with this is it, no more Harry Potter. Oh, wait, I wrote this other story. Oh. Now they're going to make it into a play.
And here's another book about one of the textbooks they used to read. That's
right.
A book now. Oh, stop it. Stop it.
She's clearly still working in that universe. She's always releasing, oh, here's a list of all the magic schools in America.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she's always teasing us with stuff as if she's really doing it.
Here's the joy of sex with Hogwarts. Right?
Remember, I haven't
remember
seen
her
that
sex
one.
Book
I saw that,
that
one.
Wrote?
I don't think I've seen that
venereal
one.
Venereal Hogwarts?
Mm-mm.
Wasn't that called? No. Wasn't that what it was called?
What is wrong with you?
About how to get the most out of his wand or something? Is that what the book was called?
I haven't seen that one.
I can't remember.
I haven't seen that
I don't know. I don't think. All right, let's go home. What do you say?
Yep.
I agree.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Tina Louise. She was Ginger on Gilligan's Island, 82 years old today. Burt Reynolds. Icon. Of the cinema is 80. Burt's not faring so well these days.
Is he not?
He's in ill health.
Hmm.
Makes me sad.
Biggest movie star in the world for 5 consecutive years at one point.
One time, nobody was bigger. Just goes to show. Sic Gloria Mundi, right? As they say in Latin?
Yeah.
Yep.
And that
which means Kevin, of course.
Seize the day.
Nope.
Right?
Carpe diem.
Yeah,
it's
whatever.
Carpe diem. Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to give myself that one.
Fame is fleeting. That's what that means right there. Sheryl Crow's 54 years old today. Sarah Palin's 52. Jennifer Aniston, 47 years old today. Damian Lewis is 45. So good on Billions. If you're watching that on Showtime, you've made a wise choice. Kelly Slater, the surfer legend, is 44 years old. Mike Shinoda of Linkin Park is 39. Brandy's 37. Kelly Rowland of Destiny's Child's 35. Natalie Dormer. You know her from Game of Thrones and The Tudors, 34 years old, and actor Taylor Lautner is 24. He played the dog, right, in that movie?
I believe so. Vampire. I believe he was a talking dog in Twilight.
He was a talking dog, yes. Vampire's Leash. One of my favorite films. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tell us about the writers of Deadpool that we're going to have in tomorrow
the
morning.
The two men who wrote the what will soon be smash hit movie Deadpool, which I cannot wait to see.
I can't wait either.
Are very talented guys, screenwriters who have also given us Zombieland. Remember Zombieland?
I do.
Oh,
love that film. Love that as well.
But I know them best as my buddies who created the Joe Schmo Show back in the day.
No kidding.
Paul and Rhett got together and they came up with this brilliant idea for Joe Schmo. And we've done three seasons of that. They were involved in the first two very closely, and then they moved on to doing screenwriting. But they're good friends of mine. And also the story behind getting Deadpool made, the story from page to screen, is a fascinating Hollywood
tale.
Took
years, right?
Yeah, it did. And it had a lot of hurdles they had to get over. But now it's set to explode all over movie screens. So we're going to talk to them tomorrow. Can't wait.
We're excited about that. Valentine's Day advice from Rudy Cisneros on the program tomorrow.
Valentine's Day.
My bad. The band Empire of the Sun in studio. Ray
the
Romano.
The best of all the Star Wars movies still, I think, to
Empire
this
of the Sun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ray Romano is on the show tomorrow, and we've got the movie beat because it is Friday. We'll see you tomorrow.